These are my homies, Dave and Rachel. Engineer Ron, would you like to officially kick off the Friday morning show?
Yes, I would. Good morning and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
We can't just put that on tape, huh? Ron's going to come in every morning.
We got it on tape now.
Fantastic. All right, Ron, go slide some potentiometers, stare at a calculator, cry and masturbate.
High voltage.
I know the lifestyle. Looking good, Ron. Guys come out of their nerddom as they get into their 40s and 50s, but everyone close their eyes and picture 17-year-old Ron, the engineer. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Poontang flying left and
interesting
right.
Interesting observation.
School.
Yeah, once you cross a line it is, a man, you are no longer really a nerd. You're just an older guy.
Yeah, you become like these, Orville Redenbacher or something. You know, you just become, Carl Sagan or something. You become one of these guys who teaches geology at the junior college, wears his belt a little too high, has three sets of glasses at all times for some reason.
Almost something distinguished about you, right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, no, and you age well as a nerd.
Nerds are hot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just love it when a hot chick every once in a while has to toss that in. I love sense of humor, paramount, number one. Yeah, I've seen the guy you're with. He's shaven. His body is shaven. Yeah. Yeah, I love personality. I love not you. I'm just talking about here's what I'm saying about we don't need your charity. I want to say this to the hot chicks. Just you're hot, you like hot guys, you like stuff that has to do with being hot. We don't need that. I think nerds are hot. You know what it does?
What makes you think that's about you?
It gives them false hope. No, I'm not a nerd. Here's what I'm saying.
The thing is that people who pretend to be something that they're not, that's not hot. But if you're a nerd and you run with it and that's your thing, then that's much more attractive than some nerd trying to be cool.
Yeah, but let me explain. Oh. Dear Rachel, I feel like I'm going to have to explain the world to you.
Oh, please school
Here's
me.
The thing. First off, hot chicks are constantly saying when a guy is pretending and he's acting, he's pretending to be something he's not, that's a big turnoff. That's a huge turnoff. You have no idea that your guy's doing that, and so are all these other idiots driving the Jeeps with the torn-up jeans, with the snowboards on top, with the crazy tribal tattoos. The guy's from Sherman Oaks, but he's got the tribal tattoo. Yeah, that's what gives him his tenacity. You buy into it. You buy into all this crap. You have no idea that he's living a lie. So here's the point. Can you accuse someone of acting who you don't know is acting? Mm. All these guys are full of crap. Now, here's the other thing. There is cool nerd. There's the band Weezer. These are guys that are cool guys.
Yeah, but those guys are jerks.
And they nerd it up, but then there's nerd. Ron is a real nerd, bona fide nerd, bleeds nerd. You guys like, here's what you guys like. You like the porn version of the nerdy guy. You like the good-looking guy with the glasses who doesn't know he's good-looking.
Right.
That's
like
not
movies,
a nerd.
Many teen movies have been based on the idea, what a nerd, what a nerd.
Right.
And you can see underneath it's some sex symbol guy like...
His biceps are bulging out of his shirt, but as soon as he takes the bow tie off...
Yeah, his hair's a little bit down over his forehead. Yeah, his hair's parted in the middle. He's got a pair of glasses on. What a nerd. This is going to be some project. Right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, they take him to the clothing store, the hipster clothing store, and then they play I'm Too Sexy while they go through a montage of clothing changes, including for
Are you writing this down?
Because
write this down. Yes, you like
you
porn
guys
nerd.
Learn everything from teen movies from like the 80s.
Yes, I know
jealous.
You're evil.
You're just jealous because you're not. You couldn't even. You're like, I couldn't even pull off the nerd, the sexy nerd thing.
Let me tell you this.
I meant either of you.
Here's all I'm saying.
You're
all I'm saying is you. Chicks say, oh, you love the lovable nerd. Let me walk through the halls of this radio station and assemble some bona fide nerds. Let me go get Mason in here. Let me just step into that engineering room. You know that room with the drill press and the cordless Makita and the three guys sitting in there waiting to die? Let me get those guys and assemble those guys. I will show you what nerds look like. You'll want no part of them.
I got news for you. Here's something that's going to be shocking to you, Rachel. Bruska, for all of his foibles, all his flaws, his idiosyncrasies, he doesn't even qualify as nerd. And I got news for you. There's not a chance in hell that you would ever be with him.
Wow.
Well, and you're saying, oh, it's so attractive. Married. It's so attractive. Yeah. Oh, it's a, what? It's so hot to be a nerd.
Why would you
listen,
say
how
that?
Hot is this?
How can you say
Bruska,
that?
Bruska has some of the makings of nerd, but he doesn't even come close to being one, and you wouldn't even consider him. So shame the devil if you would
excuse
ever be with an actual nerd.
Excuse me that you're saying, and you wouldn't ever be with him. Who are you to
wouldn't.
Tell me that I wouldn't?
We've seen your boyfriend.
Yes.
He's the
he's much better.
Antithesis of nerd.
Yeah, but that he's, you know, I mean,
I didn't realize
personality.
I didn't realize that, you know, yesterday we found out that Rachel has a place up on Coy Hill and doesn't like to come down from it to answer questions. And apparently she has a summer home on Mount Piety.
Wow, Mount Piety.
I don't even know what that means.
Let's rein it in for a second.
No. Wait. I just got completely... I got the shaft there.
We're moving on.
Oh, no.
She's got on her Pegasus and flown down from the top of Mount Piety, yes?
Yes, I have. To speak to the minions.
Mm-hmm.
Idiots.
Mm-hmm.
That
all right,
all
you have nothing to say.
Me.
Let's keep moving on. Let's
you know
keep
what?
Moving
I'm not going to defend myself against something that doesn't even need to be defended. You guys are just idiots.
When you defend yourself, do it non-verbally. That's all I'm saying.
Why did I just become like the
look? I will tell you. Here's all I'm saying, Rachel. I'm not judging. All I'm saying is women, especially attractive women.
You sound like that guy in the afternoon, that Lycus guy.
Just,
all right?
Okay. Listen, Rachel, you're going to let me finish my thought?
No.
Okay. I'd like to move on with the show. Can we do that,
yes.
Or do you want to filibuster?
No.
All right. Then either be quiet or say something that makes sense, or let me finish my point. These are your three.
Move
these
on.
Are your three options. Okay.
That was option
you see
two.
What hot chicks do, too?
Yep.
Yeah. Hot chicks do this one, too. Oh, no, wait a minute. I got something to say. And then you go, what is it? And they go, huh? Bad chick never do that. That's the obviously hot Rachel Perry over there. Dave Damashek to my right. Producer Bruska in front of me. Mike Lynch. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Let's, we got a lot in store. Frank Caliendo's coming in here, the man who does every single voice and does them well from the Fox pregame show as well as Mad TV. My main man, Dag. You know him as David Alan Greer. No finer radio show guest than David Alan Greer, with the exception of myself. Although, I can hardly be a guest on my own program.
Here.
Thank you. And those guys will be coming in. Rachel's going to be doing her Hollywood Happenings. You know, we're going to call it the Hollywood Report, but I like the Hollywood Happenings.
Isn't there already a magazine called the Hollywood? Oh, no, that's the Hollywood Reporter.
Hollywood Happenings. I like that.
Pretty close.
All right. Rachel, please. Here, let me explain improv. Yes, and. Yes, and. Not only that, but. Not, huh? What? Is there something already? I thought someone already said that. Please. Like playing a handball against the drapes with you, sweetie.
I saw that on Letterman years ago.
Yeah, it's been done. And it wasn't that funny.
I didn't sign up for this. Oh, yeah, wait.
News,
this is not fair.
News and
Tad,
sports.
Tad, get over here and defend me.
You don't want me to defend you.
Yes. You don't want Tad as your attorney, Tad. Write that down. We should have a nerd beauty pageant. Lynch had an idea. Write that down, Bruska. Because I will show you a nerd bloodline that runs deep in this building. Real nerd, not porn nerd. All right, let's keep pushing forward. I was at the car show last night. This is one of my favorite events of the year. It sounds ridiculous that I look forward to the LA car show all year, but I really do, and I go on the preview night. I go on the night where they have the VIPs and the press, because there's not a huge line of people. At the LA auto show, you cannot see the cars if you attempt to go during the week, or especially on a weekend. If there's a Lamborghini, there are 27 Mexican kids between you and the actual Lamborghini, and 11 of them are in the car, and 14 of them are trying to unscrew the stick shift knob and all that. You can't get at anything. It's just a sea of people. You go to the LA Auto Show, you just look at people. You hear tale of cars. It's like in junior high when two kids would get in a fight and they'd fall on the ground, they start rolling around, and you were late to get there, so you were at the back of the crowd, and you're like, what's going on up there?
Yeah.
C- 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 Kurt Schwartz is going at it with Oldhofer again. And you're like, what? Who's winning? I don't know. That's basically what the L.A. Auto Show is during the weekend. But you go at the beginning, and you can see the cars. At some point, standing next to the $1.3 million, 1,000-horsepower Bugatti, which is a great Damashek word. Mm. Let's hear it.
Bugatti.
Yeah, standing next to the $1.3 million
Bugatti
is Hasselhoff.
Wow.
And here's the thing about Hasselhoff, I realized. You know the celebrities that almost do an impersonation of themselves? I was making fun of him from 40 feet because I'm like, hey, look at Hasselhoff over here checking out the thing. I was making fun of a guy I thought looked like Hasselhoff because he was wearing the boots and he had the shirt undone to his navel and the big crucifix hanging out and a huge nugget silver bracelet. You know when guys wear bracelets?
Yeah.
And not chain bracelets, big just hunkin' weird sort of snap-on.
Yeah, with leather. The jewels are the studs attached to leather.
They can have the turquoise in them. They can be silver. They can be whatever. But it's the bracelet of either, a Grecian god or some sort of superhero. I mean, you could fend off bullets with this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that sort of look. And now the biggest crowd around the whole place is around this $1.3 million
Bugatti,
16-cylinder, 1,000-horsepower supercar. I mean, there's 100 people surrounding the car. Hasselhoff's on the other side of the velvet rope, and he's preening. He's walking it up and down, and he's doing that. Yeah, I may just drive this home. Kind of thing.
Is he there because of the Bugatti people? They ask them to be there to push the car?
No, what it is if they recognize you or you have a little juice, they'll let you on the other side of the velvet rope on the real high-end cars. You want to go, look, you can go to a Subaru and defecate in it. They don't care. But when you get around the Lamborghinis and the Maseratis and the
Bugattis,
then you got to get on the other side of the velvet rope and they recognize you and they'll bring you in. But it's just funny to me that I don't know. If I was Hasselhoff, I would walk around trying not to be recognized, not sort of
downplay the Baywatch and
I'd button the shirt up and probably take the huge chunks of jewelry off and not stand in front of the.
I know that was a silly time, but those were acting roles, and this is the real me. I'm obviously not that silly in real life. Right.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, Rachel.
I'm sorry. Are you talking to me?
Yes, you're able to come down from Pious Mountain, Mount Piety, and also, I'm going to pull the cone of silence up from you. You're now allowed to speak on the show. I was with a guy. Well, I think I'm going to tempt you into this. The hell was that?
I have no idea.
Okay. Thank God no one listens at 6 a.m. The other thing I wanted to talk about was one of the guys I went with, Kevin, who's also a mutual friend of me and Dave Damashek, was on day 9 of the colon cleanse.
Oh.
He'd been drinking the cayenne pepper water with the maple syrup in it, and literally day number 9 of no solid foods at all. He's cleansing his body. He's purging his body of all the toxins. And I realized this is a pretty popular thing to do. We've known many people. You see them, they're carrying around that thing of crystal, they're carrying the bottled water around, except for what's in it is a weird yellow water. Sickly looking concoction, and you're thinking, well, what the hell is that? Some kind of sports drink? And then you realize they're on the cleanse. And when they're on the cleanse, they have to constantly sip from this thing that is maple syrup, water, lemon, and cayenne pepper, which is, by the way, one of these things that means nothing, but it sounds elaborate and it sounds just diabolical enough to work, even though it means nothing. You know what I mean? It's like when you get an estimate. When you get an estimate and you say to the plumber, how much you repipe the house? And he says, let me go out in the truck and crunch some numbers. And he goes out there and blows a doobie. And then he comes back. He's like, $14,768.27. He doesn't care. He's just making up something specific, so it's like he thought about it. That's where the cayenne pepper. Oh, you're drinking cayenne pepper, tap water, and lemon. No, that's totally different than just drinking broth or Gatorade. Yeah, it means nothing. But somehow, it cleanses you. It purges you. And I don't buy it. You ever do that, Rachel? Enemas? Any of that?
No, but I want to.
You do.
I have a thing. I want to try a what do you do that thing where you go in and then everything runs out of a tube.
Yeah.
Goes up.
Yeah, that's the enemas.
Up the number two.
Yeah.
No, no, that's not an enema. It's a colonic.
Yeah, that's a fancy name for an enema.
I want to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do it on the show.
Oh. I don't want to do it on the show. Well, I could go.
See what comes out of you.
Yeah, I would tape it, but none of you are invited.
Wow. There's an invitation to watch you?
Yeah.
Who would get an invitation to watch you perform a colonic?
I don't know. Maybe a caller. Maybe we can have a contest.
Wow.
Ted,
right.
Ted,
I'm joking.
Ted did it, apparently.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Ted, you did do that.
Yeah, I've had one before.
Well, obviously, it's worked. Look at the results. It's only 400 pounds. What happened? I remember that.
They just stick a tube up your... Mm-hmm. Your butt and they flood
you with water. And
yeah, they flood you water and
how'd
yeah,
that feel?
You know, it felt kind of weird at first, but then when everything was starting to go through, she talks to you while you're doing
it.
Oh,
it was a she.
Well, I had a she and
yeah.
she literally said this to me. She goes, "Do you eat a lot of meat?"
Yeah, but let me explain. They say that. Like psychics say that to, you know.
Exactly.
I've talked to Dr. Drew about this for hours on end.
I like how Adam, I think, considers him, like, medically informed because his friend is a doctor.
Well, I've said this many times, Sweet Pants.
Yeah, but I don't know you that well, so.
I guarantee I know more about that crap than anybody you know from 10 years of hearing about it and sitting next to it. Yeah. You do learn about that stuff. I'm a great carpenter. I've never read a book on it, and I never went to college. All I did was do it. And who do you want building your house?
Ace Carolla.
Yeah. Or a guy read a book about building a house? No.
No.
That's what I have to say to that. But, yeah, I did learn a lot. And one thing I learned about is I would say to Drew, well, these people are flushing toxins from their system. And he would say, there's no such thing as a toxin. What do you mean a toxin? I'd say, yeah, toxins, they build up in your body. He'd say, there's no such thing as toxins. They don't build up in your body. There's nothing in you. It's not even inside your body. This is another weird thing. There's an inside and an outside of your body, which I never really fully got to the bottom with. But this whole system is not even inside of your body, according to Dr. Drew. And these toxins, imaginary. There's no buildup. There's no anything inside you.
Then what's your pancreas for?
I don't know, but it's all imaginary.
Or your appendix. Isn't that where all the toxins collect and then
it
explodes?
There's no such thing.
And it kills you?
No such thing. It's
as
all
a pancreas?
It's all nonsense. All this purging, BS. Zero. It does zero, and it's all up in your retarded cabeza.
What did you just call me?
Called you fat Mexican.
Can't beat that.
Yeah.
Terrific button.
Yeah. All right. So, and here's the other thing I don't like. I don't like when people are doing these kinds of diets. If you're going to do the cleanse, if you're going to do the purge, if you're going to do the 10 days without solid food, stay home.
Yes.
Because I don't want to be shamed when I'm trying to enjoy my corn dog and Fresca. I don't need that. That's the whole thing. It's a shaming process. What it is you're sitting there, I'm drinking a beer, and I've eaten my fifth lady finger, and I got the guy next to me going, no, thank you. I'm cleansing myself. Which is implying I have a little more self-esteem, a little more dignity. I treat myself as a temple, not you who are basically a walking dumpster. I don't like it. All people that are doing anything, stay home. That's what I want. All you people who don't own a TV, don't come out of your house and tell me you don't own a TV when I'm arguing with someone about something that went on The Biggest Loser, Fear Factor. I don't want you explaining you have no TV. I don't want to hear about your diets. I don't want to hear about your meditation. I don't want to hear about your yoga. They all shame me. If you smoke, go ahead. Bring it up. And if you're a pretty heavy drinker or strung out on methadone, I'd like to know about it. But if you're in one of these diets or you're doing something, I don't want to know about it.
Stay in your home up on Mount Piety and leave
me
alone.
Okay,
right.
You can all come live with me.
We'll take a quick break. Rachel Perry, down from Mount Piety. Dave Damashek, phone number, 866-901-ADAM. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, I'm listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla right now. 866-901-ADAM.
The Phone number. Well, you already heard it. 866-901-ADAM. Rachel Perry in studio. Dave Damashek. Rachel's Hollywood Happenings coming up in just a second. Rob?
Yes.
Says here you're strung out on methadone right now.
Yeah, well, I'm not strung out, but I'm actually on my way to pick it up.
Yeah. Sorry about that horrible techno music.
Yeah.
No idea where that... I think that's the music they play behind the traffic.
Yeah, what's with the traffic? I thought we agreed yesterday that we weren't doing traffic anymore.
What's with horrible techno music that somebody decided is going to be the soundtrack for our lives? Well, this will play behind everything. If there's a traffic report to give, it'll be horrible techno music. If there's a weather, if there's any kind of report or any kind of thing going on, if there's something needs a music bed behind it, horrible techno music will be underneath it. We're all a bunch of white 40-year-olds. Do we really? Horrible techno music. Is that? Do we go home and cue up the horrible techno? Play that horrible techno music again, if you can. Or, if you can't, just do whatever you did to F up to do it the first time. If you, I don't know if you urinated on the board or whatever you did, Michelle. Just do it again. Knock your coffee over again. If we can cue that up again. But when did we sign off on horrible techno music being behind everything? Yeah. Now, here's my question. Would anyone go home and put this on?
Yeah, you would think. This is the one thing we can all agree on is that no one likes it. Apparently, unless
right.
you're at a rave and on ecstasy, I guess.
Right. We all have different musical tastes. We all come from different backgrounds. But there is one thing we can all unanimously agree on, and that is this music blows. that's what we get. Yeah.
Keep right. doing an anticipatory state, though.
Yeah. All right. Please pop that there. I'm going to have a seizure. So, Rob, you're high on methadone right now?
Well, I'm not high now. I was just going to pick it up. But it's helped me become a productive citizen once again. Methadone is not as bad as it's cracked up to be. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in lieu of doing heroin, it's good. But as opposed to nothing, it's bad.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, you don't get high on it. It's like anything else. It's what you make of it. I mean, I'm looking at some real winners right now. I'm actually outside the place.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to say, New York is what it is, but you got some real colorful folks out here in Southern California.
All right. Now, is there any chance of you getting off methadone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've made a plan on what I'm going to do. I just moved out here from New York, and I got a business going on, and... Actually, I have a date set up, and when I'm going to start coming down.
So what do you do? You've opened a preschool?
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of business? Something to do with cars?
No.
What do you do? What business?
Better than that, mortgages. No, real estate.
Real estate. Okay. Here's all I want from being a native of Southern California and Los Angeles. Please, everyone, all you heroin addicts or people who are strung out on methadone or people who want to act but can't act, stop moving here without a plan. Then it just becomes this big flop house. You guys all just gather around. It's like you're camping out on my lawn. If you have a plan, come on down, but it has to be realistic. I want to act. I want to sing. I'm going to buy a bus ticket and head out to L.A. Not a great plan. Rachel?
Oh, is this time for some Hollywood?
Yeah, it's time for your Hollywood happenings.
Just a second. I need to get on my flying horse and
please.
Come
yeah,
down.
Pegasus.
Oh, I'm here now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought we were going to get some music or something.
We were.
Hey, that gets me in the mood. For entertainment. Don't get excited. The SAG nominations came out yesterday. And it seems that, in my opinion, gay is the new retarded when it comes to getting
really?
Nominated for things. You know, how everybody who plays
sure.
retarded.
An infirmity wins
yeah.
you awards.
So gay is the new retarded.
Yes.
Going to have to change my wardrobe.
Felicity Huffman, of course. Do you guys see this movie that she's doing? It's called Transamerica.
Yeah.
And she plays a pre-op... male transsexual?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Interesting. So she's got a bunch of nominations. And, of course, Ledger and Gyllenhaal getting some nominations for Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. I hate it when I make the proclamation. You know, you see the trailer in the movie. Oh, I will never. You will have to drag. You have to bind me and drag me. You'll have to put me on a hand truck and get me into this theater like Hannibal Lecter to see this movie. And I sit there with my arms crossed and I tap my foot. And then as the months wear on, it becomes the most critically acclaimed movie ever. And eventually I have to break down and go see it.
I'm only going to tell you about the things that I like. Patricia Arquette got a nomination for Medium. That makes me happy.
Oh, really? Yeah, you like her? You like the show?
I love that show.
You do?
I think men find it extremely boring.
Well, we're tired of people talking to dead people when we know it doesn't exist.
I love her.
I know, but you women look at this stuff as a science. We realize there's no science. You can't whisper to dogs or talk to dead people or speak to ghosts. It doesn't exist.
Let me ask this. From what I understand, cops actually do use mediums. Is this true?
For what purpose? To placate the mourning family members
because
to say
we're
doing everything we can to...
Don't, you should watch the show. It's fascinating.
Yeah, but that you realize that's not a documentary. It's that's Patricia Arquette.
Fascinating.
Yeah, she used to be married to Nick Cage.
Oh, wait, you mean the same way that nerds don't become like all sassy when you in an 80s movie and then girls fall in love with them in that same way? It's
Touché.
Not true.
Touché.
Is that what you mean?
Wow.
Of course, Larry David got a nomination for Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Really? This season, huh?
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Seemed like this season he was just doing an impersonation of himself
Lost,
from last season.
Arrested Development. So sad. Anyway, I'm not going to give you all of those. Lindsay Lohan's been released from the hospital.
Nice.
Marilyn Manson had his 37th birthday party.
He'll not see 40.
Interestingly enough, Justin Timberlake says he's going to have a new album out next summer. But he also feels that everybody from Tennessee is really, really dumb.
I'm the most computer stupid person on the planet. I just got an iPod this year. Hey, I'm from Tennessee, man. Some of us don't even have all of our teeth, much less an iPod.
Wow.
I think
sort of a way of giving yourself a pat on the back when you make fun of where you come from. Everyone where I'm from doesn't even have teeth, and they're complete halfwits. Of course, I was talented and smart enough to transcend
yes,
that environment.
I was able to tear myself free of that mire. And again, more hot techno music in the background.
And may I ask this of you? What do you imagine? You say Marilyn Manson may not make 40. Let's say, playing devil's advocate, he does. How's a fellow like that age? What do you think he's like when he's 53? You know, 71. What's that character look like? Is he still doing the makeup? And
I say he looks like Phyllis Diller by the time he's 71. And I'm telling you, he drinks too much of that absinthe stuff. It's rotting his mind. It makes you insane. I drank some of it with him once. He brought it to me. He did that thing that you do when you're strung out on stuff. And you want it, you go, hey, buddy, I got you some Coke. And you go, oh, thanks. And then he does all the Coke. He did that with the absinthe. Hey, bought you a bottle of absinthe. Bought you a bottle as a gift. And I said, oh, thanks. I'll put that aside. And he said, oh, let me show you how to do it. You know, and then he drank the whole bottle. But I had just enough to realize this stuff will muss with your mind.
Just in case, Damashek, you were thinking of not getting married to your fiancé and were looking at Clooney, sorry, he's very happy being single.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
People breaking up. I'm doing fine.
All right. Well,
I don't know if we got the gist of that. It's rumored. Can
yeah, we'll
I talk
play
about
it again.
Rumors?
Let me hear what he had to say.
Everybody's trying to get me married now. I keep seeing people breaking up. I'm doing fine.
Here's a nice plan as a human being, and I've said this as it pertains to Snoop Dogg and pot. Let the world know. Show your hand. Don't play it close to the vest. Let the world know that you smoke a ton of weed, and then you get to smoke weed. If Snoop Dogg comes on this program, and we walk into the green room and say, how you doing with Snoop? Snoop could blow a bong load into our face, and we'd be like, hey, brother, what's happening? Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show. Now, Frank Caliendo does that. We wrestle him to the ground, and we drag him out of here, and we have him arrested. That's how it works. Now, if you're a guy and you're in Hollywood, do that thing where you announce to the world, hey, I'm a single guy. I'm perpetual bachelor. Perpetual, but don't even think about marriage. Then you get to bang whoever you want. They never ask any questions, and nobody ever corners you because you're the single guy. You're the you smoke. I'd like to do weed and single guy if I could. I'd like to combine my two loves.
I just feel like those guys, like, at some point, it used to be sexy, I think, for Clooney. I think it gets to that point where they start getting older, and it's just it just seems lame.
No, he's only got another 30 years of that.
It's
and
lame.
Then that train ride's going to end.
It's lame.
30, 35 years.
Okay, well,
starlets. It's over.
I think it's time to go to the movies. It's Friday. You want something to do this weekend? There's a few movies coming out. One of them I'm not going to go see. It's called Hostel, and I don't like scary movies, but Quentin Tarantino endorses it. Another one, Grandma's Boy. Have you heard about this one?
Heard something about it. Not seen it.
We can listen to the trailer.
Now, for this ultimate gamer.
Who wants a shot at the champ?
Whoa. Going down.
Desperate times.
I got evicted.
Jimmy, any chance I can crash on your couch tonight?
Shut up.
Call for desperate measures.
This really cute chick said that I could sleep with her and her two crazy girlfriends.
You remember my grandson, Alex?
How old are you now?
36.
You have a girlfriend?
No.
My grandson's gay, too. I'll give you his number.
Why are you so tired?
Because I was with three chicks last night.
Don't tell me your roommates did that to you.
They're crazy. They tied me up.
It's legendary.
All right. Wait, they should be paying us.
It's about a...
I have no idea what it's about.
It's about... Yeah, that didn't say much. It's about a video game tester who moves in with his grandmother. This next one, Blood Rain.
Well, wait a second. This is by, if I understand correctly, this is a movie by Adam Sandler. And he's had a string of crummy pictures. I think we can all agree, whether or not you're a fan of his.
You call a little Nicky bad?
Well, I go out on a limb I'm not going to take any prisoners. But so now this is his latest in a string of these. But now he's not even in it. Now this is just his chums, from what I get. All the people whose names you don't know who show up in his movies, but it's the same cast of characters.
Right. So the only thing that was in it for us in a crappy Adam Sandler movie was Adam Sandler.
Right.
Now it's a crappy Adam Sandler movie minus Adam Sandler, which just leaves crappy movie.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that.
All right. And there's one more movie coming out this weekend. Ben Kingsley's in it, Michelle Rodriguez, and Christiana Loken. And from what I gather, it's about many nouns.
A father. A daughter. A mighty leader, a prophet, a young hero, a guardian, a land ruled by evil, a secret society of Avengers, Blood Rain, the adventure begins.
Wow. How many times have they announced the journey or the adventure or the odyssey begins and in fact it never really does? I would like a count. Tad, get me a tally on how many times the adventure has begun and it never really started. Because I'm disappointed. Thank you, Rachel Perry.
Pleasure.
We will take ourselves a...
I got to go.
Oh, don't worry. We'll be back. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Chek's here. He's going to be doing the sports coming up. Rachel's going to be doing the news. Frank Caliendo's coming up here. A man of many voices. And, of course, my main man, Dag. All that coming up on the Adam Carolla Show. The Dave Matthews song that doesn't get played as much as it could. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. I'm Adam Carolla. The entire crew is now in the studio because we're going to continue our staff song segment. We started doing it earlier in the week. It was a way to get to know the fresh faces of the Adam Carolla Show. We heard from Lynch and Damashek, Rachel Perry, of course.
You might remember me from my time at VH1. Now I'm with Carolla on Family Guy. He played Death Number 2. I know
it's not
that
even
he's
funny.
No Norm McDonald.
Wow. Insulting the boss.
Okay, that was funny. Yeah, see,
right
that was funny.
Gate.
That was funny, you jerk.
Yeah. Great
you
life strategy. Attack the host.
You should have heard me the night before when I was writing that song. I'm like, I hate Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah.
Not just because...
you can join my wife in that corral.
Just because I didn't want to do the song.
All right, baby. All right. What are you pre-something this morning? Is there something coming?
No,
something
but
know
you
about?
Know, we started out the day, you guys, just, you
right.
know, I feel like I'm getting it from all
but
sides.
But by the way, can we, where are, you know, I don't want to probe, but where are we on the calendar,
just
on
finish.
Your calendar?
Just finish.
Oh, just finish.
Just finish.
All right.
Yeah.
Bruska, Make note.
You got
please.
It. Please. You got it.
Make note. We'll run best of this time next month. All right. Speaking of periods, Angie Fitzsimmons is here. She is our associate producer, executive producer. What is your official title?
I guess just producer.
Producer.
Yeah.
But she makes us producer.
But she's, you know what? She's got a lot of radio experience, and she's terrific. And,
I am fantastic.
She makes everybody here look good. She's actually one of the few people who's actually done radio, except for you, Adam.
Thank you.
A lot of us come from television. By the way, I'm very nervous right now because I'm following her.
Yes, Angie.
Yes, and I'm really good, too.
Angie's going to sing her song, and then Brusca's going to sing his. Angie, just for my own edification, where are you in terms of your period?
I'm just about to start.
About to start.
Yeah.
Okay, can we sync
we'll
you
sync
guys
up? I'm sure we can
yeah, you seem
up.
So close. It
we'll
just
try.
Seems to make sense. Michelle, engineers Michelle, do lesbians still have a period, or how's that? I'm not a doctor, right?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Where are you at?
I have a couple weeks.
Couple weeks?
Yeah.
All right. That's
but I'm sure we'll all sync up.
It'll be interesting to see how long that takes.
Well, whatever it is, I'd like to expedite the process. So if you guys all have to stay in the same room this weekend and run on a treadmill next to each other or drink out of the same glass, however it works, let's get it synced up. Let's move it forward. Like to
right.
get you guys all on the same calendar. All right, Angie,
yes.
Are you ready?
Is it ready as I'll be? Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Angie Fitzsimmons.
Here's a story about me. I'm Angie. I'm a producer on the Adam Carolla Show. Some say I'm Jimmy Brusca's bitch. But I don't think so. Here's a story. Still a story about me. Haven't done laundry in some time. Actually gotten really, really bad. Not sure the undies I'm wearing are mine. Then one day I had some tickets to the Rose Bowl. And I really wanted to go see that game. Brusca made me work all day. Well, I had to watch it on TV and that was lame. I'm a producer. I'm a producer. I really hate singing this song.
Short, sweet, toe tapper. Nice. We'll not do the final tally. We'll do the review and tally on Monday. Brusca, I think we can shoehorn yours in right
okay,
now if we go
it.
For it now.
Let's do it.
Producer Jimmy Brusca. I already don't like it. Stop out.
Did the white man's over by he actually did.
Yeah.
I get up every morning with my wife adoring, leave at 2:15 for the station.
Wow.
I was born and raised in Brooklyn, people pushing, people shoving. So then I moved across the nation. I started work at Fox, where I learned to time the clocks. I was a writer, director, and producer. Half Italian, half a Jew, I could probably lose a few. And now I have one name, and that's Brusca. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business Adam's way. I'll
yeah.
be taking care of business at about 12:09. Taking care of business and working overtime. Peace out.
Wow. All right. I find it to be a little bit of a cop-out when you use the main verse of the song in your song and don't modify. But it was solid.
Well, on the plus side, he did work in a little ass-kissing.
That
doing
I always
Adam's
appreciate
way, so.
It. Are you listening, Rachel? We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll have Frank Caliendo here, the man of a million voices. We're going to have news. We're going to have sports. Dag, my main man, David Alan Greer, will be in here. All that after this. Yeah. Phone number 866-901. Adam, Dave here, Rachel here. Frank Caliendo coming in here. A lot of people who do voices impersonations are annoying. And Frank's one of them. No, Frank is not. Frank is entertaining. Frank is amazing. Frank will be in here in a couple of few. David Alan Greer will be here. very shortly. We'll get to the bottom of this whole song thing on Monday. We'll do the we'll sample every song and we'll announce a winner. Stephanie?
Hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
I was just like I wanted to comment on the Adam Sandler thing.
Okay, how old are you?
13. Yeah.
What are you doing up at this hour? You went to bed. That's right.
No,
okay,
I'm late for school.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
You go to year-round school?
No.
Okay. Don't get angry about it. I was just
I'm not
asking.
Angry.
All right. What's up?
I just think his movies suck, but he's pretty good in them.
Yeah, well, that's what we were saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now we have an Adam Sandler movie minus Adam Sandler.
Well, then it's going to suck.
Yes. To me, that's a Caesar salad with no croutons.
Right, that would be nasty.
That would be nasty. That's right. Best part. So, Stephanie.
Yeah?
You're calling from Vegas?
Yeah.
It seems surreal to be 13 and living in Vegas. It's one thing to fly over Vegas at 13, but to be attending school. I know Jimmy Kimmel, a young Jimmy Kimmel. He must be a legend at your junior high, by the way. Do they have a monument to Jimmy Kimmel over there?
Unfortunately, no.
Which junior high do you go to?
Thurman White. It's just really gay one where they won't even let you wear jeans at a rip.
You should, for extra credit or something, you should start a petition looking for a bronze statue of Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, you should really
have
something.
You put that on your college application or something.
All right, okay. Stephanie. So you're saying the Sandler movies aren't good, but he is good.
Yes.
And what do you want to do when you're an adult? Veterinarian or model?
No.
Which is it?
If I had to pick between those, you're probably a model.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. What do you actually want to do?
I want to be a lawyer for some weird reason. Either that or a drummer in my band. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, good luck. And you can possibly... I believe you can do anything you want. I really do. I believe you should set a goal and you can do anything you want. We're all capable of doing anything. None of us ever do a goddamn thing, but we're capable, technically, of doing anything we want. Is that right, Rachel? Do you agree with that?
That we're all capable of doing anything we want?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If you can dream it, you can do it.
Wow.
Comes from the heart right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
In the news, tell all I'll see them on the other side. These were the haunting final words of 51-year-old Martin Toler Jr., one of the 12 miners who died in West Virginia. These words written on a note found with the miners, and the family found solace in the note. Meanwhile, the lone survivor, Randall McCloy, has been undergoing oxygen treatments to clear the poisonous carbon monoxide from his body.
I had carbon monoxide poisoning once.
You did?
Yes.
How did that happen? Was Ozzy barbecuing in your house again or something?
Yes, he coincidentally was doing it at the time, but that wasn't where I got it. My mom had a hippie friend in the 70s, a boyfriend named Zorback. Zorback had like a microbus, like a converted school bus that had a screen door where the back window was. And we were driving in it, and I fell asleep in the back, and the carbon monoxide got sucked up. You know, when you drive a car and you sort of open the hatch, you will smell the exhaust fumes, and this is pre-catalytic converters or anything. I got carbon monoxide poisoning. All it does is make you exquisitely sleepy, and it's like... you're drugged. It's like you're a rhino that's been darted, and it's the best way to kill yourself. I'm not here to tell anyone to kill yourself, but if you're going to kill yourself, that's the way you do it. It's painless. Do not, you know, it's sad that these men passed, but there could be no more merciful way to go than this.
Adam, how could you? How could you?
I'm not saying it's a good
Adam,
thing.
Adam, this is, don't you, re- how could you? You? These people just died, and here you are
If you had a choice between a plane crash, being eaten by a grizzly bear, or carbon monoxide poisoning, you would take carbon monoxide, hands down. Hands down. Even a heart attack, anything, a stroke, anything. Carbon monoxide. You just get sleepy and you never wake up.
Well, stroke. There you go again, Mr. Insensitivity.
In Israel,
Prime Minister Sharon underwent a third surgery after a brain scan revealed more bleeding. On Wednesday, the 77-year-old suffered a major stroke and is currently in a medically induced coma.
Well,
Mr. Sensitive.
I just hope it doesn't cause any unrest in that region. Things have been going along so.
You should use that joke
so
again.
So nicely for so many years. I hope this isn't the one to set it off, set them off. Yeah.
When I give this headline again later, are you going to say that again?
Boy, Rachel, I tell you, if we got a psychologist in here, he would say she's tired of getting up in the morning. That's what the psychologist. I'd say to him, why do you think Rachel would do this to me? Why would she attack me? Why would she deny this, all this stuff in there? And he'd say, well, she'd probably like to go back to VH1 and get up at noon. And I would agree.
In world news, wedding bookings are up worldwide for the date of June 6th. So evidently that people can claim that their wedding date is 666.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Mark of the Beast.
Yes. An Oklahoma pastor whose lifelong mission is to have gays reject their sinful, destructive lifestyle was recently arrested for soliciting a male prostitute.
Shocker.
Lonnie Latham of the South Tulsa Baptist Church claims it was a setup and he was merely pastoring to him.
Anytime you care too much, it means you're interested. You know what I mean?
Mm.
When you're bashing gays, it means you're thinking way too much about the male phallus. When you do that thing where you can't stop talking about Jesus, it means you don't really believe it that much. It's the same thing like remember when you were like junior high or high school and there's that person you liked, but you had to keep coming up to them and explaining to them you didn't like them. It means you're interested.
Are you saying that I'm being mean to you because I like you secretly?
Yes.
Secretly, I'm
yes.
harboring
this
desires.
This is the junior high equivalent to you pulling on my pigtails.
It's
now I have one pigtail and it needs to be pulled.
That must be it. Oh, ayo.
Yeah. Except for mine's curlier.
In more Christian. Wait, are we talking about the same thing?
Pull my pigtail. Yes. I'm just saying when they protest too much, when the guys get up there and try to convert the gays, obviously they're thinking about it. Here's when you're not gay, you don't give a rat's ass. You don't think about it. It's just let them be. Whatever they want to do, that's their business.
In more Christian news, two NBC affiliates are refusing to air the new show, The Book of Daniel, starring Aidan Quinn. The show, which premieres tonight at 9 p.m., deals with an Episcopalian minister struggling with a Vicodin addiction. He's got an alcoholic wife, gay son, drug-dealing daughter, and Aidan's character frequently has discussions with Jesus, who is actually a character on the show. Interesting.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Yeah, blasphemy. Alan says, don't joke about the minors. I'm not joking about the minors. I am saying, in all seriousness, if you're going to pass, carbon monoxide is the way to do it. I'm not wishing it upon anyone.
Sure. I think you're going to hell for that comment.
Well, I'll see you there, my friend.
You will. Hey, listen, dude, I know that, like, you're really, like, I've been listening for the past few days. Yeah? Yeah, right. And I've been listening for the past few days, right? And I know, like, you're really good at, like, you know, inventing things and ideas, right? So, like, I was thinking about maybe having you help me, like, build my own satellite radio.
Okay, buddy.
A Baba Booey.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, wait a minute.
What does that mean?
He was doing a Howard Stern thing. But he was so stoned, it just sort of
didn't
have much punch. But I don't mind it. Go ahead, Rachel. Anything more?
Actually, that's all in the news for now.
Wow.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Pac-10 hoop season in full swing. Last night, SC over Arizona State, Stanford over Oregon State, UCLA over Arizona, and Cal beat Oregon. NBA. Golden State lost at home to the Pacers. Rumors floating around that both the Warriors and Lakers trying to work out deals for Pacers star, Ron Artest. Good basketball player, even better human being.
Oh, yeah.
NHL, San Jose beat Columbus, and the Kings shut out the Coyotes. Talk that the Chiefs are close to hiring Jets head coach Herm Edwards. Associated Press has decided that Sean Alexander is your NFL MVP. And, of course, the big story is that we're one day away. Round one of the NFL playoffs. You got the Redskins paying a visit to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is giving three. Tomorrow night, you got the Jags
at New England. New England, of course, favored in this one by 7.5. Then on Sunday, Carolina's at the Giants. Giants giving 3. And then it closes out the first weekend of the playoffs with the Steelers traveling to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. Steelers, the only road team that's favored, they're giving 3.
Are you going to be watching that game?
As it turns out, yes. I freed up my schedule so that I'm going to try to, at least a half. I'd like to at least catch a little of the game.
Can you come over? We always watch the games over at Jimmy Kimmel's house. Jimmy cooks like an Italian grandmother for 30 hours and then lavishes us all with his culinary delights. Damashek is always a fixture there, except for sometimes if his team is playing, he needs to focus.
Well, I feel it's the least I can do. I mean, I'm all for a good time and everything. You know, when the Steelers' regular season is going, I'm more than happy to have a few laughs, enjoy, keep an eye on the game. But, you know, Coach Cowher and the fellas have devoted the last 6 months to this goal of reaching a Super. The least I can do is give them my undivided attention.
We will have... You know, Jimmy has 126 television sets.
Right.
And at least 100 of them will have the Steelers game on it on Sunday night. You understand? So you have a bigger TV set at the Kimmel house than you do at home, ironically, for which to watch your beloved Steelers. You should join us. That's what I'm saying.
Let's play it by ear.
Why wouldn't you want to go?
These guys are superstitious. They actually, there's a handful of these guys that feel that they actually have control over the outcome of the game. And if they watch it in somewhere other than the shrine known as their living room, they could upset the whole apple cart.
Are you saying Damashek is superstitious? Because I just talked to him yesterday about this and about whether or not he was going to wear his like Steelers shirt and underwear and whatever. And he said no, he didn't think that controlled anything. But I think all sports fans are secretly superstitious.
Certainly, we know people
ways.
That fit that description, Ace. I'm not one of them. I don't think I'm affecting the outcome of the game. I just like to rant and rave like a lunatic and weep in privacy.
I'm
not
going to
apologize for the fact that win or lose, tears will be shed tomorrow, and I don't like to do it in front of people. That's all.
Lynch is playing a Superstition by Stevie Wonder. Brusk has no idea what's going on.
No,
it's a technical glitch.
Well, but as we go into the first round of the playoffs, you know, football, as I know I've heard you say once or twice, Ace, football's a simple game.
It is.
And the Patriots,
so
Mike Vrabel, sums it up with all you need to do to win playoff games.
Experience isn't going to help us on the goal line. We got to make a play. I mean, we've got veteran guys that have made plays in big games, and we're going to need that Saturday night.
See, all you have to do is make plays, and it's that simple, and it's as simple as also what his teammate Larry Izzo has to say. Here's how simple it is to win.
Well, in the playoffs, any play can be the difference between a team ending their season or moving on and playing another game. So the level of intensity is kicked up a whole nother level, and we've got a lot of guys here that have been around that, but then a lot of guys that haven't. So it's going to be important for the young guys to understand the importance of every play, how any particular play can change the entire complexion of the game.
Let's just say you have nothing to say when they put the mic in front of you. At the end of the day, it's going to be the team where at the end of the day, you're going to look at the scoreboard and the team with the higher score is going to walk away with the victory. And, of course, it's the playoffs, gentlemen, so there's no tomorrow. It's just next year. So you win or you go home. Even if you're home, you go home. Or you don't go home. Or you go home, but it's good.
So
you lose, you go home. And I'll tell you something. Coach Cowher's great coach. Coach Belichick, great coach. But they're not going to go out in the field and play for us. Oh, really? Not going to have the morbidly obese 60-something-year-old white guy actually go out in the field in his penny loafers and play for
you?
You can't blame him. It's about making plays, and it's a simple game. It's about offense. It's about defense. It really just breaks down to who wants it more, who completes more passes. Making plays on both sides of the ball.
Getting momentum.
Moving the sticks. Offense about moving the sticks. Defense about putting hats on the ball. Pure and simple, gentlemen. And at the end, when that gun sounds at the end of the fourth quarter, look up at the scoreboard. The team with the higher scores, the team's going away the victory. The other team's going home. I mean, we're both going home, but one team's going home and staying home. You know, I mean, we're going back to our houses. I'm not saying that we're going to sleep here, gentlemen. I've said enough. Let's go out there. Let's get a hand in. Let's break it down.
It's a simple game, the way you break it down.
Nobody comes into our house, and of course when I say house, I don't mean physically mean coming into your living room. I mean, you understand our stadium. It's known as our house. And the loser goes home. But so does the winner, but no one comes to our house. It does this at our home. Okay. On our ottoman. Look, let's just go ahead and run best of. This show is like a bad first date that's not working out. And here's where we're at. We've just finished a salad. We're not attracted to each other. The entree's coming. Let's not drag this out any further than it needs to. Really? Really? You think there's hope? You think there's potential here? You think
maybe
with Frank Caliendo and David Alan Greer on tap that maybe we could salvage this show?
There's a whole room of oh, wait, I was talking personally for myself. There's a whole room of choices here.
Oh, I see. I see.
I'm sorry. Continue your thought.
I'm basically using the analogy that today's show is basically like a bad date. It's not working out. And instead of seeing it through dessert and the uncomfortable, should we hug each other on the porch in 2 hours, let's just go home. That's
done
what I'm saying.
Done and done. I bid you all a good weekend.
Run best of. I say good day. Do we have a best of yet, Ruska? No.
We could just play Dave's song for the next, 3 hours.
Put it on the road.
Dave Dabashek's number one sports.
I meant Dave's other song.
We will be back with Frank Caliendo and David Alan Greer and all that after this. Yeah. Phone number. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Frank Caliendo is in studio today. David Alan Greer is on deck. He'll be in here in a couple of few. Frank, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here. Do you remember when we met? It was actually for Jimmy Kimmel, some MTV thing when I was just in full Madden regalia.
Yeah, we were producing a halftime show for MTV, Jimmy and myself, about 3.5 years ago. Well, couldn't be half years ago, but coming
three,
up on 4 years ago.
Ago. 3 years ago down in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
And we were going to launch Wee Man. Jimmy was going to attempt to kick Wee Man through the goalposts 45 yards away, and Frank was going to be John Madden, who was going to announce the whole thing, I do believe.
Yeah, well, we had the hot dog eating contest going on the side. My whole job was just, I mean, that guy right there, he's eating a hot dog faster than that guy. Jimmy, what am I supposed to do here? Then this guy's eating a hot dog, that guy's eating a hot dog. I mean, everybody's eating hot dogs here because it's a hot dog eating contest. I'm trying to find things to say, but all they're doing is eating hot dogs.
Do you ever hear Madden eat a sentence like halfway through? It's like, nom, 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 nom.
Hey, that predicate tastes better than the subject right there. Put a little prepositional phrase out there. Boom. You got a chef sentence. I mean, that's even better than the hot dogs. I mean,
you ever hear he gets so out of control? Like, he's just
I need my inhaler. I'm okay. I mean, you know, that's like Mikey and the Goonies when he's underneath the wishing well. Oh, I remember. Boom. Sloth mob chunk. I mean, I use all the vowels. Hey, who knew?
Wow.
That's full energy, Kelly.
Put your hands together right there.
John Madden, a Goonies fan.
Yeah, you know, you don't think about me being a Goonies fan, but, you know, Data, he went on to be Jasper, I think, and head of the class, you know, with Howard Hespin, and then went to Billy Connolly. I mean, you can change who's teaching the class, but you can't really change the students. Maybe bring a new guy in sometime. I mean, the new guy in.
Why is it that Madden loves Brett Favre so much? It's one of the things that I'm fixated on, too, in my act and everything.
Every sportscaster is gay for Brett Favre.
It is.
Yeah.
Once in a while, they tempt to do that thing where I bet Brett wishes he had that one back, but that's about as much as he'll say into him throwing off his back foot into triple coverage and losing the game for a fifth straight time.
He could have been blinded there. I don't know. Maybe somebody had some mace and we didn't see it.
I'm waiting for the day where he does an interview with him. He's like, Brett, I wrote you a poem. I hope you like it. Roses are red, violets are blue. I might like football, but I love you. It's like somebody made a bet with him. Said you can't work Brett Favre and everything. And son of a gun, I can do whatever I want.
He's talking about high hybrid grass. And I have no idea what hybrid grass is because it was Madden who was explaining. He's like, half of that grass on the field is real and half of it is fake. But Brett Favre is all real. You owe me $50. Brett Favre is the greatest player in the world. You could count both his arms and both his legs. He would still be the best torso in football. I mean, he can throw a football 200 yards underwater. I gave him throw a football 1 yard underwater. 200 miles. That's 199 more yards. Brett Favre can throw a football underwater, and he can hit any target he wants. That's why you put Brett Favre in Afghanistan, boom, he hit Osama bin Laden.
I like when they do this one. He's a linebacker in a quarterback spy. What the F does that even mean? I know what it's like to be a woman trapped inside a man's body. I can tell you about that firsthand. But what must it be like to be a linebacker trapped inside a quarterback's body?
And Madden goes like a step further. He's like, he's a demigod trapped in a mortal's body. I mean, he's been chiseled by the Lord himself.
Yeah.
Oh, Brett Favre.
And they always do this thing, too, where it's like, one day after his dad's funeral, his dad's passing, he came out and played ball. Well, you could make an argument that he shouldn't have done it. Maybe he should have stayed home and mourned the passing of his father. But either way, everything the guy does, it just sort of extends his legend.
Yeah, I saw him one time eating a meatball. I have never seen a guy eat a meatball like Brett Favre eats a meatball. I mean, he cut it into smaller pieces and then ate it one little bit. If he had tried to put the whole meatball in his mouth, I don't think he could have done it. But he made it smaller pieces. That's Brett Favre. He breaks it down and then
he's
puts
the
meatball in his mouth.
He's throwing the meatball on the telestrator.
And you know, my manager went up to him at the Super Bowl years ago. You know, Barry Katz. Unbelievable man, this guy's
Jewish manager. Oh. A Jew managing comics?
Really?
What?
No way, buddy. It's like Fred Jenny Bruskin. What are you doing, buddy? I still can't stand you, man.
But he went up to the Madden at the Super Bowl. He's like, what do you think of this guy? He does the wonderful John Madden impression.
I don't like it. What do you mean you don't like it? I don't like it, and I should have been Shrek. Hey, have you seen the Muppet Man who lives on Drury Lane? This guy's nuts, man. No wonder Frank is doing impressions of him, buddy.
It's incredible. I wish, when we tried to do that Super Bowl thing, they didn't want us anywhere near Madden because Madden dislikes me. It's a weird thing about sports egos.
I used to talk about this with Jimmy when he was doing your job over at Fox, that you cannot make fun of Howie Long or Terry Bradshaw because these guys were the big men on campus for so many years. I mean, your psyche basically gets locked in somewhere around the 10th or 11th grade, and that's about it. And if you're the guy who doesn't get laid, you have low self-esteem no matter what company you're heading up and how many Ferraris you have. You still have low self-esteem. Howie Long, as a 15-year-old who's 6'8 and 265 pounds, who ran a 4.5 40, doesn't like guys with fat, hairy bellies poking fun at them, and feels like even as a 45-year-old man, it's okay for me to just go throttle them and shove them into their locker. He'd like to give Jimmy a wedgie and then throw him out in the rec center.
See, I've gotten kind of lucky because you know, Jimmy is extremely funny. I've always found Jimmy very funny.
I don't care for the man.
And he's edgy, and he needles you.
He pushes.
Really, I'm cherubic. So
yes.
I get away with so much stuff that, you know, because when Jimmy says it, it's a lot of times the guys, and I think they did warm up to him, you know,
They didn't warm up to him.
He
warmed up to you.
Well, he broke the ground that made it possible for me to be able to do it. But the funny thing is that, and a lot of times it's me in character making fun of them, which is way easy. You know, Andy Rooney going, I never knew that Terry was so dumb. You know, that they let you do that.
Yeah, Terry's
more
so dumb he's actually mad at Andy Rooney. He fires an angry email off to Andy Rooney. This is an outrage.
How come Andy Rooney's making, how come there's a different fat celebrity on every week? I don't understand.
It's like being on American Idol. And that's the thing, that's the problem with all my impressions. I look like I got stung by a bee and had an allergic reaction. But,
Terry has to be confused, like a fat Al Pacino is making fun of him. A fat George Bush is making
Terry,
fun of him.
Terry, you're dumb. Now, that was weird. He must have been bloated or something. I don't know. Every week it's like being on American Idol and Bradshaw thinks he's Simon Cowell. He's like, nothing, Frank, nothing. Then after the show, he's like, very funny, Frank, very funny. I'm like, why'd you say that while I was on TV? Well, holler ahead and explain it to me yet, man. I'm hungry. Let's go shoot some squirrels.
Yeah. Like working with Rachel Perry. Yeah, nothing's funny. I know. There is that thing, too. Poor Jimmy used to experience this on the Fox pregame show, which is they think in order for them to be funny, they have to just poo-poo your work. Say, oh, not funny at all. And then the camera stops and they say it's funny. Meanwhile, all of America thinks you hated it. That's a tough thing.
And it's funny because Terry's turned it around a little bit where I like it how he does it when, like, he'll just say that I'm not, you know, that I'm, he'll call me fat and dumb or something like that, or, but he won't say, you know, that not funny thing, just not funny, never really works. People go, man, I thought it was really good. I don't know why Terry. Well, Terry likes it. He's just kind of, that's his comeback.
Those guys, too. No matter, you know, whether they're in suits or not, and everyone has, it's a corporate environment, everyone has attorneys and everything, but those guys average, if they were an offensive line, they were an average 6'4 and a half, 300 pounds, right? I mean, JB is a mountain of a man. Terry's huge, certainly by quarterbacks. He is a linebacker in a linebacker who's inhabiting a quarterback's body. Howie Long is like a specimen. I would like to steal his seed and impregnate my wife. or just use it for my own whatever. Yeah. Weekend's coming up.
Well, you can make decisions.
Let me get Howie's seed, and then I'll make a game time decision on whether I use it or not.
They had me on the football field with him, you know, doing a play a couple of weeks ago on a Saturday, and Howie dug into me a little bit. He faked low and went high and knocked me. I'm like, my God, I couldn't imagine when he was in his day.
Just
the speed he could move he wasn't even moving his feet, just his torso moves quickly. How do you have a quick torso?
I don't know.
I don't even get that.
Frank Caliendo is in studio now. David Alan Greer is also waiting to come into studio, and we were going to sort of shuffle one in and shuffle one out, but why not just spoon some beautiful Cool Whip on top of our Sunday, our comedic Sunday that we already have? Why not put sweet on sweet? We'll bring David Alan Greer in, Frank Caliendo will hang in, and we'll be right back after this.
Yep, you're hungover, I'm hungover, he's hungover too. The Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, that was bad. Phone number, 866-901-ADAM. I'm Adam, I'm hungover. Frank Caliendo is here from Mad TV and, of course, the Fox pregame show. My main man, David Alan Greer, has now entered the studio.
Hey, what's up?
Dag, always good to see you.
Yeah, whatever.
We have a call here that thinks Dave Damashek and I sound alike.
You do.
Dave?
Hello?
Caller Dave?
Hello?
Yes. You think David Damashek and I sound alike?
Dude, you guys are like, he's like Adam Jr. almost.
I think we sound different.
He's mini Adam.
I think we can,
you know, mini me.
I think we can illustrate that. I think we can illustrate that. Quiet down. Yes.
You guys sound like, when he starts talking, he sounds like you when you get excited. And then when you talk, you sound a little more mellow. But it kind of seems to me like you want to kind of quiet him up sometimes or tell him to be quiet or something. Cause he's
is that true?
He's very observant. No. This guy.
Quiet him up. I like thunder. That.
Stop speculating.
You want to pipe him out, pop him out or something?
He might need his own little segment or something because he's every time he gets a chance to talk, he just keeps going and going and going.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
It's like,
tough business radio. Look, I decided to conduct a little experiment to prove we sound terribly different on the radio. First, Dave, just count to three in your voice.
You're one, two, three.
All right. Now I'll do it.
One, two, three.
See?
That's totally different.
See? It's totally different. Totally different.
Could you do that again?
If you're going to waste the time to dial to call in here, please have a point that makes some sense.
Well, did you ask him what he does for a living?
Oh, he just critiques radio shows.
He's already on the next station.
Dave, what do you do? He's got Big Boy on.
Well, I got to call Big Boy. I got Steve Harvey. I got a lot of people, man. A lot of people. Getting with them all day.
David, one of my favorite
comedians.
What's the matter, brother?
Well, you know, I had this whole John Madden thing planned out.
Oh, you were going to do your John
Madden. No, let's move on.
You know, you're going to do your John
Madden.
Well,
whatever.
Thing.
I don't want to talk
sometimes
about it now.
You think you have something planned, and then the other guy does it, and then boom, it doesn't happen the way you wanted it to happen, and then you realize, hey, I mean, we sound alike.
That's me. See, that's me doing John Madden right then. That was me. We sound almost like the same. We sound like Madden.
Yeah, no, really. Naturally.
I'm going to do it now.
You know, and sometimes you think and sometimes you don't. It's like Auburn Joy's got nuts, Mounds don't.
I can't keep going. I've got to stop. I don't want to awesome. Step on your toes here.
I mean, it's killing me. Work. I thought I was the guy. I was the Madden guy for a while. And,
you know what? I was in the other room. I was listening. I said, if he does Auburn Joy's don't, I'm done for. You know, you didn't do it. I got that one in.
The difference between David and I is the material.
I go for the nuts.
Excuse me.
Ladies present. Hi, honey. How are you?
David,
she has a big zit on her nose. It's radio. People don't really can't see that. But Dave, I'm just kidding.
Why did you have to do that to me?
Speaking.
Oh, stop it.
You know,
honey.
I thought I could come here and I could hide
what?
It. And just no makeup and the whole thing. And
tack a tampon on the door and everybody's going to respect you. Stop
do
it.
I have a sign
stop
on my
it.
Face today that says Target?
Oh, stop it.
You painted it on yourself,
you
sweetie.
You did.
Many hours
I feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable.
I was talking to Dave.
Me neither.
Dave,
how dare you, sir?
Speaking of the ladies.
Oh, okay.
What? I know you have a unique way of making love to your woman.
I do.
It's pretty special.
I certainly do. We're going to get to that, buddy. I got a lot to talk about. I did my first run yesterday. I went up to Big Bear.
Oh, you did?
Did some snowboarding.
You did?
Well, I like to show some color on the slopes there. You know, my people have been maligned
sure.
in terms of the skiing and the boarding.
Yeah. Are you?
How was it?
It was slushy. And all the kids up there are still on winter break, which I forgot about. But, it's you know, you drive for 3 hours. It's beautiful. And your runs, I could have just gone right down the side of my hill, really. A lot of beer cans.
Really?
Dirt patches.
Did you really snowboard?
Yeah, I do, man.
I hear it's dangerous.
Awesome.
No, isn't it fun? Do you snowboard?
It's so awesome. It That's why I'm so glad I'm out here in L.A.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Really?
But I will tell you, man, one time I went to Aspen, I saw this dude. I was walking around. This black dude comes up. I mean, he had, like, Gucci pimp board outfit. He had, like, the baddest board, the baddest equipment. I'm like, who is this dude? He must be professional. He's like, yo, man, I just really like to, you know, do some riding, man, with you. Because, you know, this is my life.
Snowboarding.
It's real. I'm living it, man. Living the dream, baby. And I was like, are you here for vacation? He's like, hey, man, you're not hearing me, baby. It's my life. Then relocated, man. That's what I do. That's what I do now. And so I'm like, this guy must be incredible. So I go up the gondola, and I look down the mountain, and he fell. Oh, I'm telling you, he had no skill. He fell face forward all the way down the mountain, got up happy as a clam. Randale, you see me riding, baby? Going up to the top. Hey, now. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, you guys can't dominate every sport.
Well, that's why I like to go out on a bunny slope, putting it down there, you know.
A lot of hot chicks over there. Dave is
hot board chicks.
Dave is twisted sexually.
Yes.
He is.
He's the most sexually twisted person I know.
That's not true. That's not
you are. You're addicted to prostitutes.
Not prostitutes. I've never been to a prostitute.
Well,
today, look out. That's my time.
Believe me, you think he's kidding on the air and then off the air.
Adam, what has he done to you?
He's never done. I did overhear him making love to his woman one night.
Before we get to that, Adam, tell me about the car show. Let me get my lubricants out. Go slowly.
I did overhear him.
Can you take me back
How?
To Ducati?
I was over at Dave's house. We're friends, and I had to use the bathroom in the entry hall. Dave had excused himself earlier, and he has hollow core doors. It's a cheap house, and I just put my ear up to it, and I heard him making sweet love to his woman.
Don't look at me.
Wait, you were at his house. Were you sleeping over? It was a sleepover?
He invites me over. We're friendly. Just like you have friends.
Yeah.
It was to hang out, do a little training together.
He
had his lady. There's a lady friend over there. And this is what
summer parties are supposed to be only one, not girls invited, right? I thought that's, like, one sex only?
No.
No, you start it with one sex, and then the other sex sneaks
Hold on,
in
halfway into
it. Can
we go back to what John Madden say about the slumber party?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's different kinds of slumber parties. There's a kind where it's, the one sex, and then there's mm-hmm. the unisex, there's the duo sex. And, mm-hmm. I mean, as long as Brett Favre is there.
All right, hold on. Now let me do my John Madden on a slumber party. Here we go.
I mean, I love slumber parties. As long as you put it in, take it out, boom, you're done. I mean,
Can you tell the difference? Uh-oh, I see that. I jumped in too soon. Doggone it.
All right, we need to take a break. David Alan Greer is going to recreate what I heard coming through the hollow core door at his home just some weeks ago when he made sweet love to his lady. I want to thank Frank Caliendo for coming in here and doing a wonderful job. Mad TV. Everybody, Fox.
Very funny. It was him. You were doing all the John.
NFL pregame Sunday. Frank, God bless you. Come back soon. Come back early. Come back often. We'll be back with the sports. We'll be back with the news. We'll be back with Dag. All that after this. Number 866-901-ADAM. Adam Carolla. Oh, what isn't happening today? My main man, David Alan Greer, in studio.
Oh, it's crack-a-lightin', buddy.
Not only one of my favorite guests, one of my favorite humans.
Thank you so much.
Jose?
Yeah?
You say it's a good thing to have some color in the studio this morning?
Oh, man, it feels good, man, to see David back in there bringing some life to this because...
Thank you.
You guys are all a little too white in there, especially that chick.
How dare you? Her name is Rachel.
I'm so white, though. It's true.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Right? That's what
I
want to know.
She's Canadian. You're black?
Oh, honey, you about to see.
The myth lives! You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
But when I say that, you know what I mean. About the myth, Adam. About the, you know.
Yeah.
I'm talking about my ding-dong.
Yeah.
I know about the FBC, because I'm not, you know, I don't want to violate them. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. You got to be straight, right?
That's true.
Rachel, you're not that white.
No, I'm so white. I mean, Adam's white, but he's like Italian white.
Yeah.
What are you?
A half Italian, half Irish.
Yeah, see, I'm so white. My parents are both British. I grew up in Canada. I'm like, I'm so white,
American.
I'm see-through.
How are your folks? Are they cool? Like, what if you brought home David Alan Greer and said, this is my new
What's
man?
Your last name? What's your real
You'd
last
name? Would be cool with that?
Perry.
Real?
How you doing, Miss Perry? You know your daughter's nice.
No, they probably okay.
Break in the bed. You know what I'm saying? She got some skills. Miss Perry, she got some skills, you know,
that
down
was...
there. In the cootie. You know, you know what I'm saying? She don't stop. You don't look at her from she's all straight, but, you know, you get her in them jello shots and look out. Party on. Ain't no fun unless we all get some. So let's eat. Let's eat, Perry.
Yeah, I like that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like that.
Dave and your dad go out fishing, have a nice one-on-one. He explains some intimate details.
Yeah, let me ask you about your hang. No. Old girl, get on the still. Did she do that? Where you going? What's up, Mr. Perry? What's going on? You're swimming home.
He's in a rowboat. He's trying to get away from pain.
American Tragedy.
Yeah. Are they cool? Are they open-minded?
Yeah, I had a stepfather once who said something to me about, like, don't you ever.
Ever what? Did he say just black people or Chinese, Japanese? I mean, was he all-encompassing?
Yeah, I think it was just black people.
Just black people. Now, what did he say? What did he say? What happened?
And I was like...
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said right
now. Let me hear Rachel going off like you're highly upset.
That was it.
How dare you?
So you had an evil stepdad?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't evil. He was just, you know.
That explains a few things.
He was just European.
I see.
Was it from Germany?
Yugoslavia.
Mm. Same thing. Germany or Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
But you know what? His family apparently was killed. Like, he was Jewish or
by
something and like was killed by black people.
Black Jews?
Black Germans.
The last Israelites.
Wow.
You supper! You must be killed!
I like the... I like this sort of code for racists where they go, he's just set in his ways.
Right?
Yeah, he hates black people. Being set in your ways is not
well,
the same.
Well, he has certain views,
people.
Adam. That's all. He has certain views.
You understand, he's from a different period. I know where everyone hated the blacks. I understand.
So he's a man of his time.
Right.
You know.
But isn't everybody's parents racist?
No,
just mine. All right.
No.
I remember they're not.
My mom called one of my girlfriends white trash. I was like, how dare you?
She can do that.
I was sleeping with her, Mom. What?
What did that sound like, Dave, when you were making love to your woman?
I mean, it's really a Scott Slow. Like, don't look at me. Don't look. Don't. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't look. What? Scoot down. My God. My.
He's still on her.
Where are you going? Get in there. I see what you're missing, Rachel. Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yes.
Good times.
After
buddy.
You climax, the melatonin just kicks in. Some guys just go down immediately.
I go down like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
I've gotten rid of every chick like that. They're just like a little note scrawled on my chest, you know. You stink. Whatever. Whatever. I'm all in a mirror like, whatever.
All right. Let's get to some news with the racist Rachel Perry. You heard it.
In the news, Ariel Sharon, Israeli Prime Minister, is now out of the four-hour emergency surgery to drain blood and relieve pressure to his brain. Sharon suffered a stroke on Wednesday, the day before he was meant to undergo surgery to repair a hole in his heart. This hole apparently contributed to a stroke that the 77-year-old suffered on December 18th. In related news, televangelist Pat Robertson suggested that Sharon's stroke was divine retribution. Robertson says he was dividing God's land, and I would say woe unto any prime minister of Israel who takes a similar course to appease the European Union, the United Nations, or the United States of America.
He's so lucky we don't care about him anymore. Otherwise, we would dignify that with an answer.
Will he ever stop?
No. Dave, I decided yesterday this is all just some sort of crazy performance artist experiment.
Oh, my God.
Pat Robertson's name is Jamie Goldberg, and he's screwing with us.
I can't. He never ceases to amaze me.
He's screwing with us. He doesn't mean a thing. Go ahead, Rachel.
He's set in his ways.
A man who ordered a pizza from Pizza Hut gave the address of a vacant apartment in his building, and when the delivery man showed up, 22-year-old Virgil Dennis pressed a knife against the pizza guy's neck and demanded the pizzas. Police then traced the number that was actually given to Pizza Hut when Virgil Dennis ordered the pizza. They traced this number to an apartment two floors above the address originally given. When police arrived, a young man and woman answered the door with a little girl who was eating a slice of pizza.
Wow. Yeah. My whole thing is stay away from guys named Virgil.
That's right. That never works.
Kansas City.
They're oftentimes set in their ways.
Yeah. Your cousin Virgil's on the phone. Adam, Virgil's calling.
Tell him I'm in the shower.
All right, man.
After they tried to detain him.
Mm-hmm.
So until the delivery man could get there to identify him, he bolted from the apartment with the handcuffs on. And then they chased him across balconies, jumping across rooftops, got him in a parking lot, and he is charged with first-degree robbery and armed criminal action.
Well, we haven't implemented this game yet in this new radio show, but when we do start playing Definitely Not a Jew, this will be a front runner. Bolting, Virgil, ordering pizzas, holding knives to people. This will be a front runner for our Definitely Not a Jew segment.
Is he a Canadian?
Kansas City.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Brother man, is he black?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Outside. But they give
name
you
like
hints.
Virgil.
They give you hints.
I'm going to go with
Virgil,
yeah.
His big afro, Jerry curl haircut, was stuck in the door jamb.
The man was just trying to feed his daughter.
When I hear bolting or fleeing, I think black.
Well, yeah, that's what we do. We do that.
Thank you, everybody. The racist Adam Carolla.
Well, he said this way.
Thank you.
Dancing with the Stars premiered last night.
Yeah.
Everybody. There was our former guest, phone guest, Kenny Mayne, was there. I'm going to save his for the last, his quote from the show for the last, because it's good. Jerry Rice, apparently he's one of your gladiator-style people.
Yes, football
former
player.
Former football player. This is what he had to say.
Today is torture day for me, man. Every day.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Every day with me is going to be torture.
So this is what I should expect every day.
Ooh.
Well, what do you expect from your coaches in football? What, they like feed you cookies every day?
Football is easy. This is hard.
Hey, what time's the show come on?
I believe it went 8 to 10 last night.
I believe
the results show is on at 8:30 tonight, though.
Is he dancing with Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle?
He's just like,
what does coaches do to you in the gulag? I am set in my ways.
And who knew that he was going to say, this is harder than football 2-a-days in August? Who knew that was coming?
I think what he said was, the harder than football 2-a-days in August. Basically, what I'm saying.
Yeah, LaDainian.
LaDainian.
LaDainian's true foul. Yes, one of the greatest junior college athletes ever.
The most tanned man on the planet, George Hamilton. This is what he had to say about dancing.
I'm 66, and there aren't many parts of me that I haven't had some strain or stress. My knee is arthritic, and now I fell off a boat. My style. I fell off a yacht and broke 4 ribs.
What a blowhard. He heard his lower
back.
All right, he strained his lower back trying to perform oral on himself, too.
Now, is he a contestant or is he a judge or what?
These are all contestants.
We should all get into his category one day when no one knows what the F you do, you're just you.
Yeah, what
and
does
that's
he
it.
Do?
He is the male equivalent to one of the Gabor sisters, Ava or Zsa Zsa. You're just Zsa Zsa Gabor. We don't know you from being in theater. We don't know you from movies. We don't know you from TV. You've invented nothing. You've done nothing. You've made no contributions. You are just you. And by how can you F that up?
Yeah, he opened the door for the Nicole Richies of the world.
He really did. He was a pioneer.
She's multi-orgasmic.
She is.
Nicole, I love you, my darling. She's so wonderful. God bless her.
Dave fell asleep on her just the other day.
Still achieving orgasm. Go on and get yours, honey. Come on down, Rachel.
Stop touching me.
Have some of this.
Stop touching me. Stop touching me.
Run away from
stop
this.
Touching
you know
me.
What that does to me.
Oh.
I'm cool.
Oh.
That's when he tries. That's when he tries to hold off. He goes, no, I'm cool.
I'm sorry, Rick.
Will you wipe that off?
Sorry, that's my bad.
And this is your friend Kenny Main. This is fantastic. He's interpreting his dance for the judges right here.
I don't think the Italian judge understood what we were trying to portray out there. It was supposed to be two children lost in the woods, and there's a snowstorm, and then the tanks are coming, but yet we hide under the bridge, and then we capture each other at the end, and we almost drop the girl, but she has fancy sequins. I pick her up. I'm married already, okay? So I'm just escorting her through the woods.
I think that was very clear to the rest of us in here.
You know?
How is this show so successful? How does
People
that work?
People love dancing. Like, they love figure skating.
Yeah.
They're doing that now, too. Figure skating, but that just sounds dangerous.
Yeah, that does. There's a Russian team where the dude...
Why don't they do celebrity UFC now?
The guy cut the chick. You know, he did one of those loopers.
Well, here's the thing. I was saying just the other day, and by the way, I don't call it ice skating. I call it ice dancing.
Makes
me sound gayer.
Thank you.
Was saying if hockey players should wear helmets, these chicks should wear helmets because the guy has the hand up in the crotch. He's spinning around. He's holding her 12 feet. Her head is 12 feet above a frozen block of ice, and then he's going to wing her around. She's wearing nothing. She's essentially wearing a bathing suit, and if she whacks her head, she's going to be like Ariel Sharon. Maybe worse. I'm serious.
Prime Minister.
We're going into a coma.
Yeah.
I mean, you're spinning someone around who's just wearing essentially a one-piece bikini. The guy's on skates. He's standing on a frozen block of ice.
One-piece bikini?
one-piece bathing suit.
Because the bikini's two-piece, and you said one-piece. Right. That's impossible.
Let's get Caliendo back in here.
That's like an island that's attached to a piece of land. Wait, do it again. You said one-piece bikini.
Well, when I said bikini, I think I meant something you'd wear to the beach.
Look it up. Bikini, two pieces. Two pieces of bikini.
Okay, Dan, there's 4 hours of show to fill every day. I can't monitor every word.
Today, okay? I don't have to go home. I'm here for
That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Word on Sports Street is that the UCLA running back Maurice Drew is going to announce he's going pro early. And Pac-10 Hoops Conference play is underway. Last night you had SC over Arizona State, Stanford over Oregon State, UCLA over Arizona, and Cal over Oregon. The rumors are floating around that both the Golden State Warriors and LA Lakers are trying to work deals for the troubled but talented Ron Artest. Mm. And tomorrow we've been talking about week one of the NFL playoffs. You've got the Redskins at Tampa Bay, Jacks at New England. On Sunday, Carolina at the Giants, and Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Now, we can talk more about that, but with not just one in Ace Carolla, one boxing fan, but also Dag here, too.
Let's shine
the spotlight on boxing right now. Two interesting stories. First of all, I read this, and it struck me as very odd. Muhammad Ali, one of my all-time favorite human beings.
Hero.
Spectacular.
Transcends the sport of boxing.
Yes.
Hero.
Because of great. This is strange. The German United Nations Society just awarded him a peace prize. This seems strange to me. One, the Germany gives out peace prizes? Who are they?
Yeah.
Of all the people in the world to give out peace
prizes. That's like a one-piece bikini.
Yes.
Oh, man, you're
okay.
Funny.
That's enough,
hey,
that
Rachel,
my,
you have a one-piece bikini.
Goodies out. Let's keep going.
Tell me what. And two, we see what the Germans know about peace. They've just given their peace award to a boxer, a pugilist. That's strange, no?
Yeah. Well, Muhammad Ali is considered a great humanitarian because he abstained from going to Vietnam. And to me, I don't know. I realize it was for religious reasons, but any way you slice it, a bunch of guys went, you didn't go. I don't know if that merits a peace award.
Well, I'll tell you, I will tell you this, though. He stood up for his convictions. Because right now, I don't care who you take in the NBA. They say, look, buddy, we're going to fine you about $1 million a game.
Oh, check that, man. I'll be doing this Star Spangled Banner tomorrow, coach.
Yeah.
You know, he sacrificed his whole career.
People don't realize, I think he was off for 3 years in the prime of his career. Absolutely. I mean, when you're talking about a heavyweight's career lasting 8 years, 10 years, his lasted longer, went on too long. But those 3 years when he was 26, 27, 28, or whatever age he was, those were huge prime earning years, and he sat those out.
You said, you know, when you first got into what I like to call show business, call me old school, Rich, get in here. You said your prime years were wasted also.
Yes.
You know, before you got your big break. You just doing carpentry with the boxing training.
Yeah.
And wasn't that much like the same thing?
Same with Ali.
Yeah. And how did you think?
You wish someone would have, your father would have, like, hand-guided you to, what do you wish happened?
Me and Ali are the only thing that separates us is our skin color and our ability to actually box. Other than that, we're the same person. Yeah.
Did you see, who's that Italian boxer that everybody wished Muhammad Ali and the Italian guy would
box? Marciano.
Yeah. You know there's a DVD out now of them boxing?
Yeah, they
always
do that.
Someone, like, computer-generated
them. Why do they do that?
They do that. They take the 72 Miami Dolphins and have them play the 2004 Patriots.
Mussolini or Julius Caesar? Who would have won with their country's battle right now today?
Caesar's troops would have kicked Mussolini's ass.
Let me ask you something. If Hitler were right now, could he pull it off again? I don't think so. I think we'd stand up to him, would we? Come on. 2005.
Yeah.
That's sports.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Mike?
Yeah.
You got a question?
Hey, man. How's it going? I've been a longtime fan, and I think one of my favorite memories of you was when Dag did the names of his children.
Yes.
Medicine.
Yes, he turned common medical terms into children's names.
But, you know, that was you egged me on.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But you pulled it off, my
Google
friend.
Google is 461? Rachel, we're going to Disneyland.
All right. We're going to...
I got to go, Adam.
All right. Done and done. Mike?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to take a break.
I mess myself. I just can't.
When we come back, Dag will do his classic changing children's names bit. All right?
Awesome. I compiled a little list for him, too, while I've been holding. So.
Oh, do you have names for him?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. We'll put you on hold. We'll take those on hold. You just hang out, all right?
Cool.
All right. Back with the crew and David Alan Greer after this.
Set the moon up in your whoop out of Corolla.
Dave.
Yeah.
Reel it in.
Yeah. Boom. Shaka-locky-locky.
Phone number. 866-901 Adam. That's David Alan Greer. Yeah, Dave Damaschek here with sports. Rachel Perry doing news.
Next time we have to do a song, can I hire David to write my song?
I will funk it up, baby. Y'all have you singing like Mary J. Blige.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel is my name. No more drama. No more drama. No more drama. Yeah, I'll have you working it
out.
Do
you love Mary?
I love Mary J. Blige. I do. She's a diva.
She's been through a lot.
She has been through a lot. Every time she sings, she looks like she's going to fall out.
Yeah.
She's the black hip-hop Judy Garland. She's just all out there.
I like that. When we left off, we were talking to Mike from Phoenix. Mike?
Yeah.
You want to know if David Alan Greer would do his famous comedy bit where he changed medical terms into children's names?
Yes.
That would be hilarious.
Did you say you had some? Because I have some in front of me.
Well, I've got a few. I kind of raided the medicine cabinet, and I've come up with a few pretty good ones, I think.
All right. Well, feed us one.
Certainly. Dag, how about Trazodone?
Ooh, Trazodone. Can I talk about this drug just for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it is for anxiety. Am I right? Trazodone?
I don't know.
One of the side effects is you get a raging erection as you're knocked out. Yeah, one time I was dating a cokehead, and I took a Trazodone, and I was getting a stiffy as I passed out. It was perfect.
Wow.
I was like, will you shut up? Dismount me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't think I... Wait.
Always funny. Always funny. Dave and I...
I'm treading on thin ice. You're like, always funny.
No, I know it is. It is. Dave and I were in Vegas at the Olympic Gardens many years ago. A strip club in Vegas. We had our honey bunnies, as David would call them. We had hanging out with the ladies, getting a little lap dance. Dave, I'll never forget, his lady gave him a piece of personal information that no stripper should ever talk about. She
stabbed.
She said, what to you,
Dave? She was stabbed.
How many times?
17 times, 11 times. Everybody else is having fun. The woman walks over to me naked. Butt naked. Like, can I talk to you for a minute, please? Because I just think we have a lot in common. That right there.
Yeah.
I should have said, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Everyone is getting a lap dance and having a good time. Dave, it's a trail of tears.
Yeah, I was in session.
With Dave over there. She said at least 17 times she was stabbed by her ex.
Oh, yeah. She was stabbed and she had twin girls. I was like, and I made a joke. She goes, how dare you? How dare you make fun of me?
I know.
Like there's so much to make fun of.
It's always, we really need to, someone ought to write this down, but there has to be some etiquette. Do not bring the outside world inside of this club. And, you know, at Notre Dame, they have a thing outside the locker room that says play like champions.
There you go.
And everyone slaps it before they hit the field, before they go on the gridiron. If I open a strip club, leave the outside world outside, and every stripper has to slap it as she enters.
Let's break it down. How about dance like horse?
Okay.
Dance like horse. Come on.
Leave
come
the outside girl. World outside and dance like horse. Dance like everyone horse. Slap that on your way into the club well, because no one needs that. You know, you make that small talk, you know, oh, so what do you do when you're not dancing full-time, Mom?
Well, yeah, and
getting stabbed.
Get stabbed.
Well, what about that if she opened with... You and I have a lot in common. What about that story?
Oh, it was
similar
got worse.
Yours?
This is my life in a nutshell. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, you know, I posed for Playboy back in 78.
1878.
Has been meter goes up. Beep 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 beep.
Right.
And you know, I know how you know I used to be in the spotlight. Now it's look, things have changed. I'm like, you betcha. We're at the Olympic Gardens. The lights are on, honey. And, she from there, she thought we were soulmates. It was frightening. It was frightening. My penis jumped off my body and ran away.
Jumped right into my ass.
I love you, Adam!
Now, Dag,
yes,
let's
sir.
Not digress.
Okay.
Where were we? We were talking about Dag converting medical terminology into young people's names.
I discovered this
on Loveline some months back, and I found it very humorous. So I have a list of names I'd like to go through with you.
Okay, let's go.
Picture Dag standing on his front porch somewhere in the South. Hot summer eve, and he's yelling at his young children. Let's see. Leaving the jester off.
Leaving the jester off! Who let the air out of this basketball? Leaving, you better. I'm going to catch you. I ain't got to chase you. I'm going to stay right here because you got to come home.
Nephorellin.
Nephorellin. Now, how many times I told you, you're not old enough to drive. Now, give me my car keys. I'm not laughing. I am not laughing.
Norethidrone.
Norethidrone. That's not a hot water bottle, baby. It's the reason it smells like vinegar. Now go on.
Oh.
Go on and get another one.
Sorry, Rachel. I had to go.
That was awesome.
I had to go monkey on you.
The simple one. Fibula.
Fibula? Come here. I won't give you a... Come here, Fibula. I got you now. Don't you ever make me raise my butt. I will hurt you. I'm going to hurt you. You passed out. Oh, Lord.
Pericardium.
Pericardium? Pericardium! Turn that TV down. Who been ordering porn up in here?
Tibia.
Wait a minute. That would sound like the other one. Pass. Come on. Next name.
Tibia.
Those are the twins.
Give them like a first
tibia.
And second name. First
y'all
and middle
twins.
Names.
Fire.
Uh-oh.
Give them two.
Wow.
Pump the brakes here.
Adam, you want to address your woman here? Because somebody's getting a little out of line. I'm not used to working like this. Oh, boy. That's a different kind of roll call. Hey, Mr. C, come on. Get it together. Now,
right.
Are we on the same page? Now, come on.
Right,
hands in the middle. Come on, Rach. Get in here. Come on, everybody on the same. Oh, boy. I'm out here all alone. It is a lonely. Okay, let's proceed on.
You ready to keep going here?
Okay, let's go.
All right. Let's go with Imodium.
Imodium. Imodium, get up now. Imodium. Imodium, get up. You 15 minutes late. You're supposed to be at the methadone clinic 20 minutes ago. Don't make me come in here again.
David Alan Greer,
thank
everybody.
You. Thank you so much.
Wow. Puts
I'm
it all
one,
out.
Well, I'm doing a one-man show. Thank you so much. Thank you.
What is going on career-wise, Dag?
You know what? So many people come in here, look what I'm doing, you know, hey, you got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I just came in here to say, hey, welcome you to the airwaves.
You got nothing going on.
Well, I'm doing a syndicated late-night talk show for Fox.
But
other than that, The Woodsman just came out on the DVD, doing some college takes. But you know what? Other than that, I really came here to just say, hey, Rachel, welcome to...
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Anytime you want to go snowboarding, you just...
Oh, stop it.
Kyle?
Stop it.
Yeah.
You have a story to tell about Dag?
Uh-oh.
I do. It was about 96, I believe, and I was singing backup for Brandy at the Inner City Games, you know, the thing that Arnold Schwarzenegger was hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was backstage. I was a young, impressionable boy.
So
and,
you were singing backup for Brandy at the Inner City Games in what year?
And it was probably 96.
Tell them what time of the day it was.
It would be afternoon.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was, you know, my parents were pretty strict and didn't let me watch In Living Color. But I was allowed to watch a show called Hanging with Mr. Cooper, starring Mark Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there at this show, you know, and I had no access to Def Comedy Jam to know what his bit was really like. All I knew was Mr. Cooper. And so I was backstage, and David Alan Greer and Mark Curry were talking, kind of talking about some bit. And all of a sudden I hear talk of weird sexual activity and Mr. Cooper hanging from chandeliers or jumping on top of a refrigerator or something like that. And I pretty much knew that David Alan Greer had corrupted clean Mr. Cooper for me and all the rest of the children.
Is he over yet? I can't. He kept going on.
Dave, hold on. Dave, you're in a safe place. It's your friend Adam. We're on a morning radio show. It's okay. You're most friends. You're most friends. Kyle, any more to this story?
That was pretty much it.
Any other stories you'd like to share with Dave?
No, I think I'm good now.
When you sung,
get that off my chest.
How long was the set you did with Brandy?
Oh, it was probably 10, 15 minutes. We were on stage.
Mm-hmm. And so you must have a pretty good singing voice.
Well, I would like to think I do.
Oh, really?
What do you want?
Could you knock something out a cappella for us?
Can you do a cat?
Absolutely. What's that?
To give him a little beat. Give him a little boot box. Beat box.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. David, you ruined my childhood by thinking that Mr. Cooper was clean. All along I know he was hanging from chandeliers and doing girls obscene. Like that?
Wow. That was solid.
Much better than I would have guessed.
That was nice.
He was pretty good.
God love you, Kyle.
What do you want?
David Alan Greer in studio. Woodsman, out on DVD as we speak. We're going to he's going to hang in for one more break. God bless
you. I'm going to hang, but my name's not Cooper. Did I just say that? I cannot.
Good stuff. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'm a car enthusiast, an aficionado, because I love automobiles. I was at the car show last night. That's how much I love automobiles. And I'll tell you something. There's not a car in the world that will move one foot without a transmission. And that's why we need places like AMCO. AA, MCO. Yeah, you know it, right?
I knew the first couple letters, I knew the rest.
They have the AMCO in Pittsburgh?
Sure they do.
Yes, you know why?
Nationwide.
It's the most trusted name in transmissions. Transmissions are paramount. I know it sounds like I'm riffing here, but this is the copy that they gave me. And AMCO is the number one name in transmission. So if you see any weird spots, any bucking, any leaking, that thing where you put it in gear and then you count to five Mississippi and then the car lurches forward, you go see our friendly friends over at AMCO Transmission Centers. And AA, MCO, guaranteed. You get a guaranteed price that's right. Again, AA.
MCO.
MCO. I'm Adam Carolla. That's David Alan Greer.
Hey, what's up?
He's joining us in studio this wonderful morning.
Certainly is wonderful.
Talik has been on hold for an hour and a half. Talik?
Yeah.
Talik! Talik, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on with you guys,
man? How you doing, man?
What's happening, Talik?
Am I talking with my boy A.C. Carolla and my boy Davey?
Yes.
Man. Hey, Talik, I was wondering, man, what happened to your bits where Adam used to do your political schemes, man? You will, like, call up people and, like, you know, like, holler and complain about, you know, like, things not being fair. But you did it in such, like, a humorous way. You know, it was like a practical joke almost. It was totally hilarious.
How long has he been on hold?
An hour and 23 minutes.
Like, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Talik. Yeah, it was, like, back to, like, 1997 or 98 or 99, one of those times.
Talik, what do you do for a living?
I'm a I'm a sound and video editor.
Mm-hmm. And are you high right now, or are you cool?
Right now, I'm working right now. Why?
All right, just checking. Are you a white guy or a brother?
Does it matter?
Yes.
Wow, wow.
Yes,
wow.
It does.
Good thing. Good answer to leak.
Because I'm set in my ways. Yes.
You hear what that is? That's a buzzword, right? You remember when your mom would say, like, look here, Talik, I want you to listen with your eyes now. If you hear, I'm set in my ways. What mama tell you to do? You get on the bus number 4.
You're
don't
white.
Take a train.
You know, you have to, you know, you either, like, determine whether or not the person must sound awfully white or something. I don't know.
Talik, what are you? Please, tell us.
Don't answer. I'm African American.
All right. All right. All right.
Talik, what white woman on earth is going to go, honey, can we name him Talik?
I don't
he
know.
He looks like it.
I don't know. It was.
He
I was confused.
He looks like a Talik.
I got to say, he did not sound black. I know. No. I'm set in my ways. And the sound editor didn't fit either.
Sound editor. Why?
Yeah.
Why? You are such a racist. What kind of jobs do black people do?
Well, there's the NBA.
How about this? I do security, man.
Oh, you're doing security.
Yeah. I met you in a restroom at a big hotel.
Sure.
Yeah, my name is D-Ron.
Well,
Big D.
I don't know. I don't, you know, David Alan Greer is my only black friend, but I learned much of what I know about the black community from watching TV, so I gather about 90% of them are judges. I see every TV show, every sitcom, every hour-long drama, every movie. Every time there's a judge, there's a black guy there.
Well, you know why? Because that's a double dip. That's a double dip. You get your minority, and plus you get your black person, and it's in a good, positive role. You know, you never see stupid judges.
Yeah. I would
repeat that?
I would like to know. Someone should figure this out. They always do this. There's not enough good roles for people of color or minorities or whatever. But actual black female judges currently working in the judicial system versus on television. I would say there's a discrepancy here.
But wait a minute. The judges on TV, don't they say Judge Hatchett is a judge or used to be a judge?
The judge on the Miller Lite or Bud Light commercial where the guy's in the courtroom is black. Every judge on television is a person of color.
What would you like to see? Not Nazi judges, Croatian? What are you thinking?
Well, I like to see old red-headed white guys.
Okay. All right.
You know.
Okay.
Well, the new trend is also in TV commercials is you'll see that there are a lot of black guys now playing the smarter friend of the white guy who's still using old technology, for instance. Right. You're still using that old cell phone?
Yeah.
You have to step up to Motorola's Razor phone.
Computer nerds, all of them.
Adam, I built this computer myself.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute now. You mean dumping coffee on it isn't going to get it to work faster?
Yeah, but that's interesting because you two are friends and you probably do know more about computers than Adam does.
That's true.
Richard, so that's read not... me like a book.
Yes.
Not a.
You know,
no,
I promised my heart today.
Stereotype.
I promised my heart, Adam, I wouldn't fall in love. And by golly, by jingo, this little filly over here stuck me hard.
if you two ever did get to the point where you consummated your relationship, what might that sound
well,
like?
Well, after so like, Rachel, why are you with me? Why are you with me? Why are you? You know that turned me off. Don't look at me. Don't look.
Ow! Ow! Hit me! Hit me! Hello? Can you just take that out of there?
I'm sorry, baby. Will you give me a Kleenex?
What am I going to do with this stuff now?
And scene. Rachel, that was a wonderful improv.
I have
no idea how close to real life. And Rachel, I think that did that hit some nerve in you? Your arms are folded. Let's paint a picture, and you're all horrified, like
cold. I'm suddenly cold.
I'll tell you, you've
been through this.
I'll tell you, I'm like a retarded child who never tires of watching the same cartoon over and over again.
I could go on and on.
Well, speaking of going and going, we only got a minute or so left before Dave's got to hightail it. So
what are you talking about?
Well, I just wanted to talk to Dave Damashek for just one second.
I mean,
no, this is
without talking.
This is cool. We're cool.
I don't, you know, I can.
I don't have to talk. Mom's a word.
Yeah,
no more words.
I just want to talk to Damashek for a quick second. Mm-hmm. Personal show business stuff. Mm-hmm. I went to the auto show last night. I think I ate some bad hors d'oeuvres or something.
You started talking about that.
Yeah, right? And I realized, I came home, it's like I had kittens in my stomach, you know? It was that thing where I knew something was coming, and I just didn't know what end it was coming out, you know? I went to bed, and I felt fine when I went to bed, but I woke up about 3:30, and I knew there was trouble, so I went into the bathroom.
They locked the door in the middle of the thing.
And I plopped my ass down on that toilet, and I just got to tell you, what came out of me, did you see The Exorcist?
Sure.
Did you see that movie? Remember when Linda Blair was doing that vomit, and that green stuff that was coming? When I looked down in the toilet, I got to tell you, I had never seen it before, and not just in me, I'm not seeing it on this planet. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh.
I
is my mic off?
I know some people don't care to hear this kind of conversation, but it's a genuine medical.
Oh, you poured there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a little bit off my game because of it. I feel.
No, you're sharp as ever.
This is the.
Dave, you okay?
This is the second time today he's gotten some sort of vile product on me.
Sorry, yeah, Mike, give me a kiss, would you please?
All right. The great David Alan Greer, everybody.
Thank you.
Nobody puts out like that. Look for him on his syndicated talk show coming up on Fox. Also, Woodsman, DVD release, and what can I say, Dave?
Full release, always.
Thousand thank yous. We'll be right back.
Love you.
Thank you. After this.
97.1
free FM. So let me do this
FM.
And we'll do it. Yeah, Adam Carolla here for Barracuda Networks, Barracuda Spam Firewall. Barracuda Networks Spam Firewall eliminates spam and viruses within minutes. You can now sit on the computer spam and virus free.
Glorious.
Just everyone close your eyes and picture yourself sitting at home at your computer. Virus-free.
That's a world I want to live in.
Me too. You just log on to BarracudaNetworks.com and check it out. Barracuda Spyware Firewall protects against spyware and other malicious network attacks. See, the future is upon us. The machines have turned on us, and they're trying to take over, and it's people like Barracuda. The Barracuda Networks are our last line of defense. They're going to protect us from our own machines.
They're doing God's work.
Yeah. It is the Terminator all over again. Call now 1-888-ANTI-SPAM. That's 1-888-ANTI-SPAM. Well, phone number, everybody, 866-901-ADAM. Dave Damashek, if you were listening yesterday, gave out his best of list. I'll just call it Dave's list. It was a best condiment yesterday.
I'll explain 2005.
It. Yeah, 2005 list. We'll explain a little more clearly after the sports and after the news. We'll do it in the next segment. But if you want to comment on it, and there will be naysayers. There always are. Any time a great man makes a proclamation, there's a naysayer. You'll call in and argue with Dave, 866-901-ADAM. All right, now it's time for Rachel Perry with the news.
In the news, the sole survivor of the West Virginia mine tragedy, which took the lives of 12 miners, is currently in a medically induced coma. Doctors are not sure the extent of the brain injury he has received and are trying to rest his brain as much as possible to give him his best chance of recovery. And this just in, singer Lou Rawls, known for songs Bring It On Home to Me and You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine, died this morning at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. The 72-year-old Rawls has been hospitalized for the last month for brain and lung cancer. He founded the Lou Rawls Parade of Stars Telethon, which raised millions of dollars for the United Negro College Fund. The three-time Grammy winner was very optimistic when he was diagnosed less than a month ago, saying, "Don't count me out, brother." But his wife, Nina, who was with him at the time of his death, claimed his condition was more serious than he was letting on. He's survived by his four children, Luanna Rawls, Lou Rawls Jr., Kendra Smith, and Aiden.
Well, I know, Rachel, this is particularly tough for you. being white from Canada, 23 years old. I know you're a huge Lou Rawls
fan. I actually really like Lou Rawls.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I've got a little Lou Rawls. Maybe
let's hear it.
Just as a tribute.
I used to like it when it was Lou Rawls for Budweiser. Remember that? So smooth. Lou was a great guy. Lou used to go to our big Italian festival out here. And I'll think of the name as soon as we pot Lou down just a little bit. He used to come out to the Prima Notte when we had our what the hell festival
Feast
did we
of
have?
San Gennaro.
The San Gennaro Feast. Thank you, Mike. Out here. I don't know if he was Italian or just a good guy, but Lou would be there. We're going to miss it.
No, I don't think Lou was Italian.
You don't think so?
No.
All right. Rawls?
Italian food, though. Yeah. Liked Italian food.
You never know, too. Guys change their name and they get in the show business. Could have been Rawlino.
True.
Something like that, Raul Tivio.
In other news, 16-year-old Jesse Ann, a snowboarder and fan of the Chris O'Donnell Bill Paxton film Vertical Limit, says that when he was trapped on a mountain during a storm in Santa, Utah earlier this week, the film saved his life. He remembered that the characters in the film had built an igloo to keep warm, so he built an improvised igloo and was found alive the next day by rescuers.
Oh. Thought we were going to hear something. Here's the thing. You know, they always do this where they go, oh, these video games, they poison the minds of young children, or these criminals learn how to be criminals through watching these caper movies. What about this? What about what I've learned from watching Jeremiah Johnson or Omega Man or Iron Eagle 3? You know what I mean?
You need to watch them 73 times a piece, though. That's the question.
That's how you learn. You don't learn the first time. You're so busy laughing and crying and applauding. You don't learn anything. You do. You watch one of these movies about someone surviving in the wilderness. You learn how to survive in the wilderness.
Yeah, apparently he had no other survival training other than watching Vertical Limit.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact. I always like, and I'm sure he was baked off his ass if he was a snowboarder and watching Vertical Limit, too. So that kind of retention when you're that high is, again, tip of the beanie to this youngster. And I always like when they call these guys brave. He survived 4 days in the elements, sub-zero temperatures. What a hero. How brave can you get? Well, what are your options? You die?
Curl up and die.
Die or struggle for life.
I, for one, thank Chris O'Donnell and Bill Paxton.
Yes. They should be awarded
Thank
something.
Thank you.
They're heroes.
They're heroes. Yes.
And finally, a good friend of Paris Hilton's boyfriend, Stavros Niarchos.
Yeah.
I just like saying that. Has asked a judge for a restraining order against Paris. Brian Quintana believes that he is in imminent danger from the heiress. The self-described PR man, Quintana, believes Hilton has been telling his clients not to do business with him and calling media outlets and slandering him. His lawyer sent a cease and desist letter, which infuriated Paris, and he says that she warned him bluntly to watch your back and that he effed with the wrong person.
Hasn't this joke gone on long enough? This Paris Hilton joke that was played on us about 3 or 4 years ago. I think we all sort of sit back and wait for these things to burn out quickly because they normally do. But in today's society, they seem to have 9 lives. I mean, you know, if someone would have asked you, 4 or 5 years ago, Paris Hilton, how long is she going to be around? Well, she doesn't sing. She doesn't really act. She doesn't invent anything. She doesn't dance.
She appears, is what she does. She makes appearances.
She'll be gone in 6 months. I really do think there's a new segment of celebrity, which are celebrities because they're celebrities, because we need to talk about them, because we recognize their names, not for any accomplishment whatsoever, just because we know their name, and they pop up on every one of these shows, and then we're forced to discuss them. I say no more.
Or you could join them, and maybe we could try to develop one. Develop our own and foist someone, a talentless person, on America. Not unlike what you've done with me in this chair.
That's true. Yeah. Speaking of that.
Pretty soon you're going to see photos of Dave Damashek shopping at Kitson in Us Weekly.
Yeah.
You need to go hang out on Robertson more in L.A.
He eats like you and I. He crosses the street. Yeah. I like that part of Us or People where it shows celebrities actually standing on their feet. And it says they stand like you and I. They breathe like you and I. What a novelty.
I want to see pictures of Dave Damashek shopping at the grocery store.
Yeah, you can see him over. You see him over at the scoreboard on Ventura Boulevard buying Steelers paraphernalia. Awesome. All right.
Well, that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA last night, Golden State lost at home to the Indiana Pacers, but maybe good news on the horizon for them. There are rumors going around that the Warriors, along with the Lakers, are trying to work out deals for the talented and delightful Ron Artest. Bad news for perhaps for UCLA fans. It sounds like running back Maurice Drew is about to announce that he's going to leave school early to go to the NFL. And speaking of the NFL, NFL round one of the playoffs is upon us.
Yes.
Tomorrow you've got the Redskins paying a visit to Tampa Bay, giving three. I say take the Redskins. Mm-hmm. Then Jacksonville is in New England. New England giving 7.5. I say take the 7.5. Take New England with the 7.5. Then Sunday, of course. I mean, this game will be decided by 18 points. 21 points or more.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Sunday, Carolina at the Giants. Giants giving 3. I say Carolina. Mm-hmm. I'm sticking with them. A lot of people pick them at the start of the season.
Yes.
I say more talented. They'll take care of it. And look for Eli Manning to throw at least 2 abysmal interceptions. That'll cost them the game. And finally, Cincinnati hosts the Pittsburgh Steelers. The only team that's going on the road that is a favorite. Of course, I think the Steelers are going to win. And why? Because Coach Cowher knows what needs to happen when the playoffs come around.
They're a good football team, and you know, obviously this time of year, we all know what's at stake. So we'll see what happens, and we've got to get a good week of preparation. And you know, we've got to play better than we did last week and play better than we did the last time we played them. And for us to move on.
I'll tell you what it is. Right now it's about playing good, hard-nosed, Steeler-type ball, fundamental ball, playing within ourselves. No one in this locker room thought we could play within ourselves except for the people within this locker room. It's about not letting people, it's about coming in, the loser goes home. It's about not looking ahead to next week's playing. Leave it all out on the field, gentlemen. 60 minutes of fundamental football, mistake-free football. It's not physical errors that kills you people. It's mental errors and emotional errors. These are what kill a football team. It's about playing fundamental ball. It's about playing good, clean, heads-up Steeler-type fundamental ball.
And all condensed.
But you're playing with reckless abandon. You go through there, help out for re-election. Tell you what. And by the way, it's not a popularity contest once you get out on that field, gentlemen. You play and you play to win. At the end, you shake your hands and you dust yourself off and you head to another game, another stand. But nobody comes into our house. Nobody comes into our house and wins a game. And when I say house, you know, I don't mean your home. I mean, you know, stadium where we play, you know. Loser goes home because it's the playoffs. I mean, we all go home, but they, you know, they stay home. Okay, fundamental ball.
Well, listen, you're a real wordsmith, clearly, based on that. I don't know if you took that directly from Coach Cowher's speech, but that's your own, but I feel that was your own. And you do have a way with words. And it was interesting last night. Did you happen to catch Governor Schwarzenegger's State of the State?
Yes.
He's a pseudo-athlete, so I think I can I can talk about this.
Sure.
He's a
sports
bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Yes, that's sort of sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, it's no secret that he likes to use some of his favorite movie lines, you know, hasta la vista, baby.
What an idiot. I mean, I know you're gonna play this, and I don't want to step on it, but yes, this jackass, and I like Schwarzenegger, I have no problem with him, but this jackass feels the need to work in his movie sayings and his movie titles into every goddamn speech.
Every speech.
And here's who I blame it on. His wife, Maria Shriver. Shouldn't his wife pipe up when he gets home from another, is it good to terminate higher taxes? Shouldn't she pull him aside and just go, Arnie, baby? Enough.
You're making an ass of yourself
by proxy. I'm now an ass. I come from a great family, great political family, and I seem like a pompous ass now. Please knock it off. And I know your advisors are telling you this. Do it for me, sweetie, or you'll get no oral.
Well, it's interesting because the hasta la vistas and the I'll be backs, I think maybe are a little played out. Maybe he's even realized they're a little played out because yesterday he was introduced by Bustamante. What's Bustamante's first name? Ran for
Cruz
Bustamante.
He's the guy who wants to give California back to Mexico.
Yes.
Great Damashek word, by the way. Bustamante.
Cruz Bustamante.
Yeah.
He was given the privilege of introducing the governor. to the gaggle of people on, hey, to hear the state of the state. And listen to this. Like I say, you know, I think Governor Schwarzenegger's now tapping into some of his lesser-known movie phrases. But listen to this exchange.
Governor, I have paid attention to your work on obesity. And, Governor, I'm looking for some advice. So, ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the state of California, and hopefully my new personal trainer, the Honorable Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You son of a bitch. What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
That's weird, right?
Yeah. Seems out of context.
It does. What kind of...
That was Bustamante really bringing him out there?
Yes, it was.
What a blowhard. Hopefully my personal...
Well, he killed, though.
All right. Yeah, I know. But here's the thing with politicians. Okay, they don't have to be smart. Do they have to be stupid? You know, could they be average intelligence? How about just in the sense of humor department? Is there such a thing as a politician with a halfway decent sense of humor? You don't have to be Frank Caliendo or David Alan Greer, but could you just have, could your sense of humor just be a 4.5 on the sense of humor scale? Do you have to have almost no sense of humor and be a blowhard at the same time? Always my personal trainer. That's great stuff. That is great stuff.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Just call. Thank you, Dave, by the way. 866-901. Adam is the phone number. Bob?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening, my brother?
Hey, I saw you at the car show. You look drunk.
Well, I was.
I'd be drinking, too, if I knew I had the...
You know, it was funny. I was just commenting to someone. I think it was yesterday. We've had almost no Baba Booey calls. In the first week that we've been on, here we are at the end of the first week where you expect a cavalcade of Baba Booey calls. They really haven't had any.
I think they should just tell us that they're calling to Baba Booey us and we'll put them on.
Really?
I would just like that. I think we should just tell us.
It's like one of those programs the city does every once in a while. Like, look, just bring us your guns and we'll give you a cheese wheel. we're done trying to kick in your front door. We're done with the scams. We're done. Let's just do it on the honor system, please, fellas. Please bring your guns in. We'll give you a can of beans and $100, and it always works. I agree. Let's implement that same thought process here. Just, if you want to do a Baba Booey on the air, just call in, tell
the phone lines are lighting up.
You want to do a Baba Booey, let's purge. Let's get it out of our system.
They are, though.
It is always amazing how those programs where they give, like, cheese for guns or compliments for guns or $100 for guns, they're always amazing successes. Yeah, oh, yeah, we got 3,500 legal handguns just to this YMCA in Compton. Really? People just bring their guns in and drop them off? All right, we will take ourselves a little break. Dave Damashek's number one.
Ooh la la.
Ought five list. Such a smash yesterday. We're doing it again, of course, a different topic. Different category.
Would you like me to tell you?
No.
We'll wait.
All that after this.
Listen to Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901 Adam.
Yeah. My dad doing a drop for us. 866-901 Adam. Before we left, we talked about Dave Damashek doing his best of Ought Five list. We also talked about people purging their Baba Booeys. They want to call in. They want to say Baba Booey. I say let's just do it. Let's get it over with. Let's get it off everyone's chest. Matt?
What's up, Adam, man?
Want to give us a Baba Booey?
I want to give you two things.
Oh, please. Just give us the Baba Booey.
No, I want to hear the things.
All right. I'd like to say F. Chris Ripley in Vegas and Baba Booey.
All right. Now you satisfied, Rachel, with the...
Yes. Yes.
He shouted out someone's name we've never heard of. Kyle?
Yeah.
Baba Booey?
I got a serious Baba Booey for you.
Give it to us.
Rah rah retard.
Ooh, nice twist.
He should have added a rah rah Rachel to that.
Drew?
Horrible Baba Booeys, by the way.
I'll give you the real Baba Booey. Ba 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 boo ba ba boo ba ba. Okay.
All right. He got bored with his own Baba Booey. Well, you get it. All right, now let's clear the Baba Booeys because we're going to need to make some room on the phone line, 866-901-ADAM, for those who disagree bitterly, I'm guessing, with whatever comes out of Dave Damashek's mouth. This is his best of list. Those of you who have not had the privilege of hanging around off the microphone with Dave Damashek, he's been doing this for years. He gives you a list of his favorite fruit, his favorite condiment. It's not things like NBA players or sports cars. No, it's the minutiae.
The Associated Press takes care of things like actors, MVPs, and yeah, the
right.
Oscars take care of movies and such. Right,
right,
yes.
Right.
I take care of the rest.
Right, the important things.
Yes.
All right, what's the topic? The best. The worst song, singing the best around.
Well, the extended analysis. What gives? This is an. I take this as an insult.
It's a slap in the face. Well, technical problems to work out. Who knows right. where that came from?
I want to move past this.
Well, I got to hear you're the best around again, because I have to sort of reboot in my heart and my mind.
All right.
So, Mike, we could just
We're
hear
waiting.
That again. Start that up again.
Heisman Trophy winner Reggie Bush.
What the?
Let's forget that.
All right, I don't need to hear Best Around again. Can you do it?
I got it.
Can you do it? You got it? Yes. All right. Now we're going to shake this off and pretend we're like a quarterback who just threw a bad pick. We can't live in the past. We've got to move forward.
You can't be the best if you can't deal with adversity.
Yeah, there is adversity. Dust yourself off. Let's go. Dave's the best.
All right. Now, let's right. move on with the all right. ceremony.
All right.
This next category pays homage to the egg. That Ooh. Breakfast staple that in the eyes of some exists at the breakfast table merely to play a supporting role to admittedly tasty stars like bacon and waffles.
Mm-hmm.
But make no mistake, the egg is no wingman. Mm-hmm. In fact, it serves as an example that I think we as human beings would do well to follow. We too often struggle to move past the color of one's skin.
Mm-hmm. What about the scramble of one's egg?
Meantime, the egg white and yellow yolk thrive on harmoniously
wow.
and deliciously. So with no further ado, the nominees for Egg Preparation of the Year are...
Wow.
Scramble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably the granddaddy of preparations, mm-hmm. and still doing it as well as ever.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have a little cheese mixed in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next. Over easy. If there's anything better than sticking a nice piece of toast into the yolk of an over-easy egg, I haven't found it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Hard-boiled.
Uh-huh.
Soft, you know, it's soft-boiled, brother, frankly, can be a little sickening, but
right.
just throw a little salt on a hard-boiled one, and you've stamped your ticket to heaven.
Yeah, spread it out over Cobb salad.
Poached.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, less common than the rest. But
yeah.
My favorite style.
But perhaps it's that very elusiveness that makes it so
it's
special.
The winner in my books.
I thought wheelbarrow was your favorite.
Those are your nominees.
I don't know what that means.
And the winner of the 2005 Egg Preparation of the Year. Exciting. Over easy.
Over easy.
Over easy Egg Preparation of the Year.
Really?
Yeah.
For those of us who don't know huevos like you do.
Yes.
Over easy is sunny side up, flipped over.
Yes, correct.
Is that correct?
But the yolk remains soft. Yes, but which would be the
easy
part. Not as soft as sunny side up, though.
No.
Yes, yes, it's slightly two side.
Sunny yeah. Side Up wasn't even nominated.
No, I'm surprised it was on that list.
Well, then, listen, there are a lot of ways to prepare an egg. Only some rise to the level of being nominated.
I'm not telling you how to do your job.
Thank you.
But a list of egg preparations that excludes Sunny Side Up is a list that's missing, has a gaping hole in it.
That's your opinion, and it's the same thing with the Oscars. I'm sure there are movies that you would like to have seen nominated
by
the Academy, but they were not, because it's not your awards.
But,
they're the Academy.
A lot of people,
and
I think...
And pure egg white was completely ignored altogether.
Yes, it was.
Well, wasn't even invited to the ceremony. Wasn't even invited to the event.
I can say with some confidence that the egg white preparation shall never be nominated.
What about you know, those fake eggs
that
come in a carton?
Don't worry about scramblers. I say we should have replaced the hard-boiled egg for egg preparation, since we're talking morning breakfast preparation here, and replace it with Sunny Side Up. Grant, how say you?
Well, I'm going to tell you how my daughter eats them.
All right.
She's a year and 7 months old, and we put them in the microwave with some milk in there for about a minute, scramble it up, then we throw some butter on there, and 30 more seconds, scramble them up, and she can eat 4 or 5 a morning.
Fantastic.
It's like an egg shake, almost, is what it's
She's going to be president.
That's what it's like, but she won't let her dad feed her no more.
It's like a two-year-old rocking.
She puts her hands and starts shoving them in her mouth.
I personally like to do it this way. I like to take some onions and dice them up.
Ooh, yes.
And then
good.
I toss just a little olive oil in the pan, and I cook up, I brown up those onions just a little bit, then I scramble the eggs. And yes, when you scramble the eggs, crack them into a bowl and scramble them, put a little dash of milk in there, makes them a little fluffy, makes them a little lighter, spread that in, and then sprinkle the cheese in on top of that.
You know, garlic salt is a weird thing. I generally don't like it, but it can really make your scrambled eggs sing. Let me give you that little tip from my kitchen.
Thank you.
Can I just say I'm glad that omelet wasn't nominated, because I'm not a fan.
Omelet is the
worst way to make an egg.
Omelet gets a little rubbery. I agree
gross.
With you. No, but you know what you do with an omelet? You order it scrambled. So instead of the Denver omelet, which is just basically like a hubcap of rubber that's been tacoed over some diced ham, you get the whole thing scrambled together. Now, you get all the greatest parts of an omelet. The best part about an omelet is what lies within the rubbery skin.
Mm.
It's the best part of the Ace Man, too, by the way.
And you fold over onto those delicious ingredients. Sometimes they don't cook enough. Yes, you're exactly right.
And then sometimes you get the watery, uncooked egg in there, and that's the worst part.
Yes, that's what you don't want. Ed?
It's true.
Yeah.
What's up?
Nasty.
Who, this is the Adam?
Yes.
Hey, I don't know who told that man scrambled eggs is the best. I don't know who told that man scrambled eggs wasn't the best.
No, they're very good, and I enjoy them very often in my own kitchen.
Oh, you're backpedaling now.
No.
Backpedaling?
No, shame the devil should I backpedal.
Ed?
Yeah, I'm here.
You like scrambled eggs?
You got to put the ketchup on the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Lowry seasoning salt. You just pepper that on it. Well, don't pepper it. You just pour it on
it. I can't figure out if ketchup on eggs is a delectable or sort of a hillbilly move.
Ketchup on everything is awesome.
Really? Ketchup on eggs?
I ain't no hillbilly.
No, I can hear that, Ed. Oh. Ed, you're calling from Vegas. What's going on? How's your life going?
Oh, things going good, man.
They sound like they're going great. What are you doing, though? What are you doing today?
Ain't doing nothing right now.
Scrambling
just
eggs?
Your show, you know.
Thanks.
I already ate this morning. We already ate.
Thanks, Ed. What do you do for a living?
Well, I work over at the Bellagio Hotel. I'm one of those maintenance-type workers.
Mm-hmm. Is that a
You've
decent...
You've been there before, right?
Been there. Is that a decent gig?
It does all right, you know. I mean, this is going to be my last job, probably, but...
Oh, really?
You know, I'm hoping.
You're going to kill yourself tonight, or are you just...
Oh,
I see.
No.
I see. Your last job. I didn't know if he was going to end it all.
I was in the Air Force. I was in there.
God bless
24 years.
I'll tell you, these people, they protect our country. They're heroes. And I say, however they want their eggs, just as long as they're cooked on American soil, using American natural gas, an American pan, possibly made in Korea. I say God bless.
And for the record, I'd like to say this about the scrambled egg. You know, much like a nominee for Best Actor, you know, the real honor is just in the nomination, you know. So I don't want anyone to think that I'm slighting the scrambled egg. It was nominated.
They're all winners.
Yeah,
they're
that's pretty heady company.
All
keeping
winners.
There.
Thank you, Dave Damashek.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, egg.
There we go. We will... I was going to go to break, but I have to hear a little more of this song. This song is like a loose tooth that's very painful that I have to keep flicking with my tongue. I can't help it. It hurts every time I hear it, but I'm obsessed with it. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Aaron Carolla Show. Call him now. Now at 866-901-ADAM.
Former heavyweight champ Leon Spinks.
I thought it could have been Larry Holmes. That's right. 866-901-ADAM. Speaking of the phones, I was complaining to Rachel and Dave Damashek after the show yesterday that I've been trying to call my grandmother for now 4 days straight, and her line has been busy each time I call. Granted, I call once a day, and maybe it's just been serendipity that she's been on the horn when I've been calling her. But because she will not join us here in the 21st century, she has no phone machine. She has no way of knowing I've called. So in her mind, I'm not calling. So she told my mother, by the way, my grandmother could pick up the goddamn phone and just call me, but instead she has to tell my mother that she's angry at me because I've not called her and wished her a happy new year, and here we are, you know, heading into the second week, and I've not called her yet. Meanwhile, I've called the old bag 4 times. It's been busy 4 times. Now, here's the thing. People make these lifestyle choices like, hey, I don't like cell phones. ATM's not for me. I'm not a phone message guy. No. You're not, but we are now. We're forced to join your horrible lifestyle. The phone machine is not for you. It's for me.
Old people don't believe in call waiting, answering machines, none of that
this
crap.
This transcends age. There are plenty of people in our generation that live the same way.
Here's the other thing, too. God forbid we turn out like any of our kooky parents or grandparents, but the iPod was not around when I was in junior high. Neither was the personal computer. Neither was the cell phone. Neither was a lot of things. But you know what? I now enjoy them.
Mm. Yeah, but you don't even know how to read.
How dare you, Rachel? Whatever. What's her name? Yeah. Close. Yeah. Got my buddy Donnie.
Or use the computer.
My buddy Donnie is my buddy the Wheeze. He's like, yeah, I don't like the ATM cards because I burned through too much money on the weekend, so I got rid of my ATM. I would take $300 out on a Friday night and be gone by Sunday. You mind paying for breakfast? That was his thing. And then also, he doesn't believe in cell phones. Could I use yours? I call my wife. That's how it works. So nobody believes in these things. Nobody wants these things. They just need to use yours.
We have a couple of pals who, neither of whom wants a car in L.A.
Yes.
It's just not for them to have a car.
Right.
Can you come pick me up in Santa Monica? And
right. Right. They've chosen, these are adult males that Dave and I know who've decided, they're just not into driving, which is fine, but you must now drive them. That's the whole thing. If you don't want to drive, fine, but if I have to drive you, then you have to start driving. I'm going to try calling my grandmother, see if it's busy again. Let's see. Let's see if she picks up. Oh, it's ringing. Maybe her nurse lady will pick up.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Adam.
Hi, good morning, Adam.
Who's this?
This is Annabelle.
Annabelle, how are you, sweetie?
All right, what about you?
Doing good.
All right, that sounds good.
All right. Is Grandma there?
Yes, hold on, let me get that other phone, okay?
All right.
All right.
All right. That's a nice Latin lady who takes care of Grandma.
Do you call her Grandma? Do you call her Nana? Nan?
Grandma's probably got to be pried away from the radio. I'm sure she's sitting right next to it listening to your show.
That's awesome stuff. Grandma?
Yeah.
What's happening, beautiful?
Oh, I was missing you. That's what's happening.
Thank you. We're on the radio, so don't drop any F-bombs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and don't use the N-word to give her a heads up on that.
All right. Well, I was just about to. So.
Yeah, good. We nipped that one in the bud. Grandma, I've been calling you for 5 days, and your line has been busy every day.
That's funny.
Yeah, but not funny, ha-ha, funny pain in the ass for me, because you don't think I've been calling you. I've been calling you.
I see. So here I have been sticking pins in that little image I made of you.
Yes, the voodoo doll. Are you listening to the radio program, Grandma?
No.
Shocker.
Are you on the radio program?
Yes, I am.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. Let's see, the Corollas are all huge fans.
Because you have
it's
in your
blood,
though, right?
Yeah. What are you doing right now, Granny?
Annabelle said not to tell you.
Was it something weird with the bathtub?
No, not exactly with the bathtub.
Ah, tell us. We can take it.
Well, I'm on the throne.
Number one or number two? Because you can't tell if the ladies.
on the radio now, that's just...
Yeah, that's morning. I'm a shock jock now, Granny. I'm not the lovable Brillo Head carpenter who once put a kitchen on your house in North Hollywood. I'm now a shock jock. So you're doing number one?
I don't want to discuss this.
All right, we'll assume. That means two.
Yeah.
And Annabelle has to stay in there next to you?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, baby. Annabelle... You know what? I owe you a huge... I never did give you a holiday tip.
Oh, yes. I owe you owe me a lot.
Yes, yes. I had no idea what you had to endure over there. I thought you were just throwing cups of tea in the microwave. I didn't know you were steadying her while she was on the throne.
It's all right.
All right, all right.
I enjoy to talk to you.
Only in here because you're on the phone.
I see. Well,
yes.
Annabelle, you're a saint. Grandma, your toilet seat has those little kickers under it, right, that raises it up 3 inches?
I don't think so.
All right. I'm going to check into that. I use the sink when I'm in her place. All right, Grandma. So we're connected, right? We're cool?
I just wanted to talk to you, but I'd like to talk to you privately, shall we?
All right. Well, if you can find some time when you're not on the toilet, maybe we can get together.
I won't listen if she wants to talk. You know,
yeah.
Everybody will.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to say before I call you off the air, Granny?
No, I think this is... I'm probably going to regret that I took this call.
Oh, we're cool. We're fine.
Because I was missing you so much.
You got to live. Thanks, baby.
All right, so
Happy New Year, Annabelle. And I'm going to give you a big fat tip. And Granny?
Yeah?
We'll get together over the weekend.
All right. Yeah.
I'll give you a call. Why don't you call me? Put your foolish pride aside and call me.
At home?
Yes, call me at home.
All right.
All right.
All right.
God bless you.
Bye, dear.
God bless you. And then don't wipe forward. Wipe backward. All right. That's my grandma, everybody.
Hey, yeah. Ace, I don't want to pry into your personal business.
Huge
but...
fan of the radio show.
Clearly, yes.
Sure.
Now, this Annabelle, who's mm-hmm. doing the dirty work.
Yes.
Apparently, literally.
Yes.
How much do you pay a woman like this to deal with that business?
Well, it's interesting because anyone who knows my family, they're very liberal, they're very progressive. My mother, who looks like Tom Petty, was a Chicano studies major in junior college. That's how apathetic we are to the people of color, the brown people. On the other hand, when it comes time to paying them, not so much love. That's what I've learned about most liberals. They want to do everything for everybody and tell them to open their goddamn wallet, and then it's like, who? What? No, you guys are on your own. So I think she probably gets like $15 an hour, maybe less, but each year they come to me during Christmas for her bonus.
Oh, I see.
Because I have to cough up the bonus bucks, and I wasn't around this year, and somehow it fell through the cracks, but I have to give that woman a bonus because... These people are, you know, changing sheets and holding people or on the crapper. I mean, they deserve all the money that's in my wallet.
Horrific work.
Horrific work.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. That is my grandmother, and that is the show, y'all. Thanks for listening. A decent kickoff week. A few technical problems to sort out, but I guarantee we're going to show up new and improved. 6 a.m. Monday morning. I want to thank Lynch for doing a great job. And, of course, Big Ken, Rachel Perry, Dave Damashek, Bruska, Angie, Phone Screener Brian. Who the hell? Michelle and others folks whose name I can't remember right now. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.